The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
All right, today is Thursday. It's April 2nd. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, as Governor Wolf's stay-at-home order remains in effect in Pennsylvania, yesterday, the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board resumed limited sales online. Officials say that there is a controlled number of orders per day at finewineandgoodspirits.com. Customers will be able to purchase up to 6 bottles per transaction. All orders must be shipped to home or non-store addresses, and only one order per address will be fulfilled per day.
So, Kathy, that sets you up at least for the weekend, the 6 bottles, right?
Seriously.
It's funny because it is it's so telling and troubling at the same time. We need liquor. America needs booze.
If you're taking away our multiplexes, yes. We need our booze.
It's true.
Listen, I know that, like, it, you know, there are some serious things going on right now.
Sure.
People are dying, but when this all went down, I'm being for real. That was the first thing I thought of. I was like, well, I need to make
sure
that.
Am I stocked?
Yeah, like, am I stocked? And I went to the store. I told you guys this before. And then I went again the next day because I was like, I didn't get enough. If this shuts down and doesn't reopen, like, I want to have something in the house.
Right now, actually, is the sober people are, God bless you. You got no problems whatsoever.
I have not noticed one tick in my daily routine.
But not that long ago, I did watch a documentary about the film Argo. And it was the real story behind that whole thing.
Right, yeah.
And so they were talking to the Americans that were in the Canadian embassy that were holed up. That's what the focus of the film is about. This is during the Iran hostage in the late 1970s. But they said, you know, they were stuck inside that whole time.
Yeah.
And you know what they did most of the time? They got drunk.
Yeah.
Apparently they had plenty of booze in the embassy, and they just, they had nothing
to
do.
Well, what are you going to do?
They played games all the time. If they stepped outside, chances are they were going to be spotted and killed.
Yeah.
So they played games and they drank booze and they ate.
And that was, of course.
Yeah. You know?
Kathy, what did you stock up on? Was it all wine?
Yep.
Okay, so
I got you covered, nothing, Kath. Rochelle doesn't drink, and I don't really drink wine, and I got bottles and bottles and bottles of wine.
Well, if there's any comfort, there's no projection of any shortage of booze.
No.
So,
and you listen, you can still get it. Like, I've seen it at Target. It's available there. Maybe a little bit more expensive.
And Acme,
A lot of the stores have it. Listen, I have a friend who also enjoys wine very much, and we're almost sure, she has not been tested, but we're almost positive that she does have coronavirus. She has all the symptoms, and she is not terribly sick, but she's like, I can't even touch the wine, you know, like, she doesn't feel good. So she's like, I can't even go near it right now. But listen, so the board chairman, Tim Holden, says, we understand the public wants to have access to wine and spirits during these unprecedented times, but we have a responsibility to mitigate community spread of the virus to every extent possible and to make sure our employees and our customers are as safe as they can be. Access to their website will be randomized to avoid overwhelming the site with high traffic. So I guess you log on and you see if maybe you have access.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So it's like, consider it like the mid 80s and you're logging on to get Springsteen tickets.
Yeah.
And that's what it's like.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
The PLCV is not considering reopening stores at this time, although the agency continues to monitor the situation in consultation with the Wolf administration. Officials say that they are planning to increase order capacity as fulfillment capacity increases.
You
know, basically, you can get 6 bottles a day.
Oh, okay. I mean, yeah.
I think you're good.
I think so. As you said, also, they're the other options as well. So that's just one thing that people have relied on, and it's good to see they're restoring it at some level.
But if you want to get, you know, I think this is more for people who want to get tequila or bourbon or things like that.
They don't sell that at at Acme, do they?
Or it's hard liquor?
Wine.
No.
Right,
no.
Yeah.
Not that I know.
Beer and wine?
I just see beer and wine.
Yeah.
Dr. Anthony Fauci says social and physical distancing guidelines designed to curb the spread of the novel coronavirus could be relaxed when the country sees essentially no new cases or deaths for a period of time. Fauci had been asked in the White House Wednesday if the distancing measures would be necessary until a vaccine or treatment is developed. He continued, "The one thing I believe that we will have in place is a much more robust system to be able to identify someone who was infected, isolate them, and then do contact tracing. If you have a really good program of containment, that prevents you from ever having to get into mitigation. We're in mitigation right now. That's what the social and physical distancing is," he explained. Fauci added, though, that the ultimate solution to the virus that might keep coming back would be a vaccine. Fauci said that he was on the World Health Organization conference call with other health officials who came to an agreement that we may have cycling with another season, but said that the world would be much better prepared and will likely have interventions. Social distancing are practices implemented by public health officials to keep contagious diseases from spreading.
And Kathy, what Fauci was saying also just on the there are glimmers of signs that the social distancing. So when, you know, people are, God, how long is this going to go on? There are signs that it is having some effects in certain areas. So, but as he says, you got to keep your foot on the gas when you're seeing you're starting to get some traction. So that's at least that's comforting in the wealth of all this staggeringly potentially horrible alcohol news.
Ever since this thing started, I feel like I've had a pretty level head about it. You know, sometimes you get like a little compulsive when it comes to like, sure. Oh, did I wash my hands? Did I touch my face or whatever?
Right,
but
right.
On my way into work this morning, I got so mad at like how this was handled, not in the United States, but in China. I was actually borderline raging. I was supposed to leave for London tomorrow evening. I was supposed to. Yeah.
Okay. Yes, with his mom. Yeah.
I was taking my mom to London. Like, I had a really special trip.
How about
playing
me?
With my mother, and somebody ruined it. And that's how I felt on my way into work this morning. I was like, God damn it, man.
I was taking my 94-year-old dad to Wuhan, and
yeah.
I had to cancel that. So, yeah, no, I know, yeah.
Steve, thank God.
Worst vacation to plan, Kathy, especially for a senior like that.
Yeah.
I don't think you need to start blaming anybody, Casey. It is what it is, and that's not going to do you any good.
I guess you're right.
Don't do that.
Amid furloughs, layoffs, and uncertainty during the COVID-19 pandemic, officials want to make it clear that you will continue to have access to basic essentials. So as far as housing goes, tenants cannot be evicted for missing a payment this month. There is currently an eviction and mortgage foreclosure moratorium throughout the state of Pennsylvania. Landlords can't go through the process to evict tenants because the courts are closed. There is a tenant hotline that's set up for all legal services agencies in the city for you to call if you are facing what you believe is an illegal eviction. The number is 267-443-2500. Now, in New Jersey, Governor Phil Murphy said homeowners will get a 90-day grace period to pay their mortgages. Lenders will also waive any late fees or any costs that would otherwise arise as a result of this 90-day grace period. In a press conference Wednesday, Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kenney said that there is no gas, water, or electric line shutoffs in the city until at least May 1st. Utility service providers like PSE&G and PECO will not shut off services if customers have missed a payment. And that tenant hotline, one more time, is 267-443-2500 if you have any questions. In sports this morning,
ball sacks are yummy.
Ball sacks are yummy.
Remind me, I have to ask you guys something at the end of sports.
All right, I'll remind you.
A Philadelphia Union player has tested positive for COVID-19, the team announced, but they did not specify which player tested positive. The player experienced mild symptoms and is currently feeling well and is in good spirits. The player has been isolated and no other players have cases or symptoms. The Union said the team's medical staff has been in consultation with the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, as well as local medical officials. The announcement is believed to be the first confirmed case of COVID-19 for a Major League Soccer player. The 2020 British Open Championship scheduled for Royal St. George's in July will be canceled because of the coronavirus pandemic, according to Golf Digest. The decision comes in the wake of the Wimbledon tennis tournament also being canceled. Both tournaments are being canceled for the first time since World War II. Scheduled for July 16th to the 19th in England, the tournament will be canceled rather than postponed because the organizers can collect an insurance premium if it cancels by a certain date. The Masters, which was scheduled for next week, and the PGA Championship, which was scheduled for next month, have announced that they have postponed but haven't rescheduled future dates yet. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right. Thank you, Kathy. You were supposed to be telling us something.
Yes. I wanted to ask you something. So somebody sent an email asking if maybe this might be the time to add one more sound clip to the sports intro, and that would be Joe Exotic. Something from Joe Exotic added into the sports intro.
It's got to be the right thing.
Yeah, it has to hit us right.
Yeah.
We'll look for one.
I just wanted to throw that out there. In case we find something, we hear something from him, one of the clips. Just think about it.
There's a lot crammed in there as it is, but we'll see.
Perhaps the clip about him complaining not being able to use the N-word. I think that we got that one yesterday. That's a real winner.
I don't want that one.
All right, well, listen, welcome to Thursday morning. We are stacked with all kinds of stuff for you today. Should you decide to hang with us this morning, we have money to give away. We're going to give away $500, two opportunities. And that's MMR's Rock Refund. We'll do it at 8 and 10 a.m. And then we hand it over to everybody else because Pierre's got it twice, Jackson's got it twice, and Jackie's got it as well. So take a look at WMMR.com for all the details on how to do it. It's easy. We have an announcement at 9 a.m. You will want to listen to this. It involves music. We will tell you about that later on. So an announcement at 9 a.m. And speaking of music, an old friend is going to be on the program, G Love. Is getting in touch with us around 8:20 or so, and he's been doing some live from home concerts, all request stuff.
I saw him on the beach down in Brigantine about 2 years ago.
Yeah,
it was a great show.
Awesome,
he was phenomenal.
Was he at a bar or
it
outside?
It was a bar that had a beach area in front of it, so we were just seated. It was a perfect summer evening.
That's great,
and his music just lends itself to that.
Totally,
it was great.
All right, so we'll talk to G a little bit after 8 o'clock. We also have Akbar Bajamila. Baja Iamila.
Change that name.
Baja Biamila.
Baja
Biamila.
Wait, I'm looking at... Oh, there's a B there. All right,
Snackables.
Baja Biamila.
Yeah.
He'll be... Snackables. He'll be on. around 9 o'clock, and he's from American Ninja Warrior. He's a real positive guy. I'm telling you, he's inspiring as hell.
It'll be good to get a nice dose of that.
And Ty Burrell is going to be joining us from Modern Family.
Yes, and he's on. I guess he actually owns two bars in Salt Lake City,
mm-hmm.
and he's trying to get people to help out people in the service industry who have been hit by all this. And of course, the Modern Family wrap up next week, Preston.
Unbelievable that
series
their show is
end,
coming
yeah.
to a close.
11
man.
Seasons.
Wow.
Yeah,
and consistently fantastic.
The new episode last night was a scream. So wonderful.
So Ty will be joining us right after we talk to Akbar, which is around 9:10 or so. So we have a lot to get to today, and we're looking forward to getting to all of it. Let's go ahead and take a break because I do have those entertainment stories that we always start the day off with and a stupid question with some stuff to give away. We will be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so the stupid question we asked this morning could get you a Phillies Yingling prize bag. And the question I have for you this morning is, cows are described as bovine. What adjective ending in I-N-E is used to describe bears?
Huh.
215-263-WMMR. Cows are described as bovine, but what adjective ending with I-N-E is used to describe bears? Yeah, Case got it right. He jotted down the answer. 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer.
That's an utterly fascinating question.
Isn't it, though?
I had to get it in there.
Birthdays today on Thursday, April 2nd, include Dr. Demento.
Oh, my God.
Radio personality. Did all kinds of parodies and comedy bits and songs.
Got Weird Al Yankovic going. Mm-hmm. Rocky Road? Was that the first one he submitted to Dr. Demento?
Oh, really?
Rocky Road.
Yeah.
And he did one of his famous old time bits is "They're coming to take me away."
They're coming to take me away. And he got that.
I think that's him.
He played either he recorded it or made it famous by playing it. But you remember, there's a big issue when that first came out because there was a perception that people who were teetering on the edge, it was putting them over.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah,
yeah. Jeez. Dr. Demento, 79 today. Emmy Lou Harris, the country singer.
Always liked her.
Me too. She has really, really high pitch voice. She's 73 years old today. Christopher Maloney.
Maloney. We're just talking about him. What were you talking about him for? You brought him up, Casey. Christopher Maloney.
He's going back on Law and Order, one of the SVUs, or they're bringing back his character.
Okay. Yeah. And did he pose in a kilt?
Was that's that him? It.
Yeah.
Kilt, shirtless.
Yep.
Yeah. How do I look? He's in good shape.
Law and Order, Special Victims Unit, Oz. Yeah, he is in good shape. He's 59 today.
And he can do comedy. He's in the original American Wet Hot Summer. What's the?
Oh, really?
What is it, Nick?
Hot Wet American.
Wet Hot American Summer.
Okay. Yeah, he's the he works in the cafeteria.
Yeah, he's in the second one, too, and it's just it's really stupid but funny.
It is.
He's 59 today. Actress Linda Hunt. She's very, very tiny.
Yes.
Gorgeous. She's on is she on The Practice?
She's on the one with LL Cool J and
CSI
Los Angeles?
Maybe. Yeah.
Des Moines?
She's 75 today.
She's the one that was in If Looks Could Kill?
She's in Kindergarten Cop. She's the principal
in Silverado.
Yes,
she
plays a horse.
No, she runs the.
That's it. Yeah,
the saloon. She's 75. Adam Rodriguez, who is from CSI Miami, and he's also in the movie Magic Mike and Roswell. He's 45.
So, are 3/4 of the actors currently working on CSI shows?
Yeah, it looks like it. Right?
Come on,
and they all have birthdays around the same time. Yeah. Michael Fassbender, great actor.
He is.
X-Men, played Magneto in a few of the movies. First Class, great movie. Inglourious Basterds, he's wonderful in. 12 Years a Slave, man.
Oh, yeah.
So if you were to take the 5 hard. Worst characters ever depicted in film, he'd have to be in. I mean, his character, obviously.
Yeah.
Going back to LL Cool J, isn't he in an NCIS?
It could be.
Okay.
No. There's only one NCIS, I believe.
There's a couple.
Are there?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. What's the... Nick, can you do a quick search? It's the LL Cool J series currently, and he's with the Chris O'Donnell. Right?
Yeah, Chris O'Donnell.
Yeah.
It is Case NCIS.
Is
right.
NCIS Los Angeles.
All right, I'm wrong. Yeah. What's the one with Mark Harmon? Is that NCIS?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the original NCIS.
That's right.
The OG. And then they did spinoffs? Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
And Linda Hunt is on the NCIS Los Angeles with LL Cool J.
Boom.
Okay. There you go. And
teamwork.
Then we have Jesse Plemons is the last actor to celebrate a birthday today.
Meth Damon.
Meth Damon.
Yeah.
I like that. Breaking Bad, The Post, Fargo. You know what I liked him in is Game Night.
Yes.
He plays the next door neighbor, the cop, who's just bizarre.
He's setting up these parties they don't want to go to.
Nobody wants to go to his house. He's great. 32 years
old. That's a good movie.
It is. I liked it too. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. Let's see. Cows are described as bovine. What adjective ending with I-N-E is used to describe bears? 215-263.
Wow.
WMMR is a number. Wow, okay. I don't see a single correct answer. Let me go to Rick. Hey, Rick, good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Rick, what word ending in I-N-E is used to describe bears?
Supine, S-U-P-I-N-E.
No, incorrect. Mm. Sorry. S-U-pine, something like that?
Supine.
A supine? No. I'll go to Richard. Hey, Richard.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Richard, all right, what adjective ending in I-N-E is used to describe bears?
Povine.
No, not povine. Incorrect. Sorry.
Thanks.
What the hell is povine?
All right.
Let me go to line 8, you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll go to Keegan. Hi, Keegan.
Nana for ya.
All right, Keegan. Do me a favor. Tell me what word that ends in I-N-E is used to describe bears.
Ursine,
yes. Spelled incorrectly. I got that. All right. Keegan, hold on the line. We are going to set you up with a Phillies Yingling prize pack. Yingling Lager is now the official lager of the Phillies. Prize pack includes a case of limited edition Phillies Yingling Lager cans, Phillies hat, Phillies lager glassware, a baseball, and an array of high-end Yingling swag from the gift shop. Enjoy limited edition Phillies retro logo Yingling lager cans at Citizens Bank Park, local retailers and bars. Plus, enter the sweepstakes to meet Phillies all-star pitcher and Yingling brand ambassador Aaron Nola. Follow Yingling's social channels at Yingling Beer for your chance to win and enjoy responsibly.
So, that's damn good.
So Ursine is like, you know, Ursa.
Ursa, yes.
Like Ursa Major, Ursa Minor. So there you go.
Ursinus.
No, it is. Yeah.
Named after a bear?
Yeah. Ursinus, okay.
Oh, nice. All right, so let's begin. I got a lot of stuff to get to. Idris Elba is giving another update following his coronavirus diagnosis. The actor shared a video on Twitter telling fans he and his wife Sabrina are both doing okay, although they are asymptomatic following dual positive diagnoses. He said, we've passed the quarantine period, but we are a little bit stuck in limbo. We can't get a flight back home.
Where are they now currently?
That is a good question because in this story, it doesn't say, and I've forgotten since the last update we had with them.
So I thought he was living in London.
Yeah, but they may have been on vacation. I'm not sure, Steve.
Yeah.
He said we just
were they vacationing with Rita Wilson and Tom Hanks?
They're in Australia. We just have to sit still for a little bit. Other than that, we're okay, and we're so thankful for that. I think the worst of it has probably passed. He said it's weird because I never sit still. Sabrina never sits still either, and I think she's finding it harder. She's getting cabin fever.
So while he was doing the video, and he sent this message out, he was doing the Watusi. So it was crazy. Okay. He's right. He doesn't sit still.
He said, we're both doing good mentally, just trying to stay optimistic. I hope you guys are too, keeping yourselves sane and not getting too worried or panicked. I thought I was definitely going to see the worst of it as an asthmatic, but thankfully I came through and you can too.
I didn't know he was asthmatic.
Elba also gave a shout out to everyone who is helping other people, especially the doctors and nurses and healthcare people doing their thing. You lot are amazing and should be fully appreciated. So, yeah, they're hanging in there and just trying to get home if they can. Here's what some other celebs are up to and their plans. They're just like us. And things like that. Bindi Irwin, of Steve Irwin's daughter,
mm-hmm. just got married.
She has been planning to marry Chandler Powell at the Australia Zoo since they got engaged in July. But her plans changed radically due to the coronavirus. She tells people of their elopement. Yeah, I'm sorry. She did get married, right, Steve, on March 25th in a private zoo. It says in private at the zoo.
Yeah, there was nobody there, right?
Lots of animals, yeah.
I think the officiant was on like a phone or something like that.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. Or maybe one of the crocodiles did it.
But Bindi's wedding special premieres April 18th on Animal Planet.
Yes.
Taraji P. Henson is moving her wedding date to former NFL star Kelvin Hayden because of the pandemic. She already moved it from April to June. She tells Extra, it's probably going to be more like July. We have to see what this will be like at the other end. And Kristen Bell is offering fans a chance of winning a virtual game night in a bid to raise money for coronavirus relief efforts. She's teaming up with Omaze and is offering fans a chance to play games with her virtually. Fans who bid on the option will know that their funds will go to support the Mayor's Fund for Los Angeles, which is helping to support small businesses and at-risk citizens.
Listen, you know, obviously we have our fun with celebrities who do stuff in this particular report, but there is a lot of activity as far as really generous charitable stuff coming out of that community. It's nice to see.
Kevin Hart is making a difference here in Philadelphia. He's donating meals to the elderly and those affected by the crisis through Hungry at Home, which is a family-style food delivery service that provides food to residents without having them leave their homes.
Is this like Manna?
Kevin said, yeah, it sounds like it. He said, I love when my partners rise to the task and help facilitate getting food to our neighbors who aren't able to leave their house or their jobs. Hungry at Home and I are feeding the elderly and those in need in my hometown of Philly. This is in an Instagram post. The company says all meals are made by a food safety trained professional chef. The meals are sealed and delivered in a temperature controlled bag. For every two meals purchased through Hungry, the company will donate an additional meal to Feeding America.
It's pretty wild when you see commercials these days about food handlers and where to get, you know, your takeout and stuff like that. people have acted very, very quickly as far as, you know, their advertising campaigns.
I said the same thing. So my wife and I were watching TV last night, and the amount of commercials, mm-hmm. I said, how quickly did they turn these around?
Really,
like,
quick.
Every other commercial is assuring people about the product line and how it's handled, which is obviously is a wise thing to do. And then every other one is, you know, in these uncertain times and blah, blah, blah. I mean, they must have been like a day or two turnaround to get these things done.
The first one I've seen do it was Papa John's, and then I saw Little Caesars do it. Burger King, I've seen talk about how, you know, everything is handled safely.
Nick,
a lot of car commercials are doing it too.
Yes.
And so so they're advertising the fact that you can come in and have service done. But like the cynical side of me, Steve, I was thinking about you last night because there's definitely some comedy to be gained out of this.
All you
really need is a slow piano and then somebody with a soothing voice and then the phrase in these uncertain times.
In these uncertain times, we want to make sure we can get your goddamn car in for service. But you're too scared to go outside. So we'll send over Johnny, who really no one likes and not much anyway. We wouldn't care if he got sick. He'll pick up the car. Just throw the keys out the window.
No, yeah, every place is doing that. Yeah.
Even my traffic sponsors, there were a couple Acme and H&R Block switched almost immediately. And, you know, some of the others were kind of lingering and then they got pulled. But, I mean, it was almost immediate that those two switched.
Kathy, you know a place is having a really hard time, though, trying to do the turnaround? The chain restaurant called Sneezy's. Their gimmick was they would sneeze on your food. Now they've lost a lot of traction. Now, when I see a commercial like that, though, it works. I'm more inclined to say, oh, well, they're going to the extra trouble. Why not? Yeah.
I have a follow-up from music news yesterday, and it's sad news. I found this out last night. Fountains of Wayne bassist and songwriter Adam Schlesinger passed away. He was 52 years old, and it was due to complications from COVID-19.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so yesterday we were hearing that he'd been in a coma.
Medically induced coma, and he was the word that I got, the story that I read, that he was improving. So, but apparently that was incorrect.
What a sucker punch. It's just horrible.
Yeah.
He 52, right?
Yeah. Past week, he was on a ventilator. Schlesinger formed Fountains of Wayne in 1995 with guitarist Chris Collingwood. The band released two albums with little impact, although Schlesinger gained recognition for writing the Oscar-nominated title song for the movie, That Thing You Do. Which
he wrote that?
Yes.
Yeah. Man.
You have it, right? Don't you, Case?
Somewhere. I have something else.
Preston, did you see Tom Hanks's tweet last night?
No.
He came in kind of late, but he wrote a really nice little thing about Adam Schlesinger. He wrote, there would be no Playtone without Adam Schlesinger, without his That Thing You Do. He was a one-eater. I lost him to COVID-19. Terribly sad today, Tom Hanks.
Yeah, it's actually a great song. That song for that movie is a great song.
And that has been his ability throughout his entire career. Talk about writing a hook.
Yep.
And then we have two clips of him, Preston, talking about it. This is an interview just a little while ago. Talking about mimicking his heroes.
All right. Hang on. We're going to take a second.
Sure, no problem.
No, I have it. I was just looking for That Thing You Do. Go ahead.
All right, here we go.
When I was younger, I think like everybody, I would just imitate the songwriting heroes, and so I would write stuff that sounded like fake Beatles songs or fake Elvis Costello songs or fake Joe Jackson songs or something, and then eventually you just start finding ways to have your own voice.
And they had a real hit with Stacy's Mom in 2003 when that hit. That was from the third LP, Welcome Interstate Managers. You remember the video with that Rachel Hutter? It's a great video.
Yeah.
I always liked the song Radiation Vibe. I love that
song. It's a great
song.
It's a great, a lot of people have forgotten that song, but it's a great song.
Yeah.
And he wrote, obviously he was doing stuff on Broadway and for movies, but his, and we have a clip of him talking about Preston, about writing a lot of songs for other people to sing because he could hear other people's voices better in his head.
All right, here we go.
I feel like a bit of a chameleon because a lot of times what I'm doing is almost trying to write something that will come out of the mouth of someone else. So it's almost like less about my personality and more about what I think they can put across.
So he is from what, Wayne, New Jersey? Because I remember my girl I dated years ago lived in North Jersey, and I remember passing a place called Fountains of Wayne. And I don't know if the name of that band was named after that place in Wayne, New Jersey.
It would seem to be, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
After they disbanded in 2013, Schlesinger continued working as a songwriter, contributing tunes to the TV series Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Yeah.
For which he earned 3 Emmys and writing a Tony-nominated score for the musical Crybaby, which came out in 2008. He was divorced, survived by 2 daughters, representatives from his family, and fountains of Wayne have not been issued as of yet. So that's that is very unfortunate news. The royal family update. Prince Charles is on the road to recovery after being diagnosed with coronavirus last week and displaying mild symptoms. On Monday, Clarence House confirmed that he was out of self-isolation after 7 days. That's according to standards stipulated by the UK's National Health Service. In other countries, it's been 14 days, so he caught a little crap for that, but he's following his country's guidelines.
He's going to be the king.
His 72-year-old wife, Camilla, tested negative for the virus. Charles said that his and Camilla's hearts go out to those older people throughout this country who are now experiencing great difficulty, while extending his support to every community affected by coronavirus. I said, as we're all learning, this is a strange, frustrating, and often distressing experience when the presence of a family and friends is no longer possible and the normal structures of life are suddenly removed. At such an unprecedented and anxious time in all our lives, my wife and I are thinking particularly of all those who have lost their loved ones in such difficult and abnormal circumstances, and those having to endure sickness, isolation, and loneliness.
So, Mommy, the Queen, is, I assume they have, I mean, you've reported, they're going to great lengths, obviously, to isolate her from any sort of deal at her age. But you know what? I think you could fire a shotgun into her chest. She's just absolutely indestructible.
You got it. The royals have to. If you look at the last few heads of state, they have some longevity in their genetics, that, no question.
Yeah, yeah. It pays to have sex with close family members.
I guess so. Now, as Prince Harry and Meghan Markle settle into life in L.A., several adjustments to their lives have been made. When Harry and Meghan opted to leave Canada for L.A., it seems Harry's immigration status became more complicated.
Uh-oh.
Because Canada was part of the Commonwealth, Harry would have had easily been able to work or live there. It's different in the U.S. He's going to need a green card, either by sponsoring himself in the extraordinary ability category frequently used by public figures, or having Megan or a separate U.S. entity sponsor him.
Well, I think if he gets a job like at a department store or something and shows he has some income coming in, that'll expedite the procedure.
From there, he would receive a temporary work and travel permit and then a green card. Huh. After 3 years of having a green card, he would be eligible to become a U.S. citizen, though that would entail relinquishing his claim to the English throne. He is currently 6th in line, of course.
My guess is he won't do that.
Now, Harry and Meghan were used to having a team of bodyguards in the UK. They'll still need security in L.A. after Prince Charles reportedly agreed to foot the $2.5 million bill. And the pair have chosen a new team of former SAS soldiers who are used to keeping the likes of Madonna, Brad Pitt, and Angelina Jolie safe. So that's where they're going to look for help.
What are the Kingsmen doing?
That's a good question. Yeah. They might need something to do.
Right?
Kingsmen.
Those guys are incredible, Preston. I was watching a documentary on them, the things they can do.
One day after their official royal exit, the pair's new out-of-office email reply reflects the change. It says, "Many thanks for your email. The office for the Duke and Duchess of Sussex has now closed," according to the auto-reply.
Did you hear the recorded message?
Hello, this is Harry. We can't come to the phone right now because we're currently in the United States. Please leave your name and number. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, very totally.
Pretty much
detached.
So Ben Affleck has been dating Knives Out star Ana de Armas for about a month, but they've been photographed in Cuba and L.A., and they appear to be attached at the hip.
Yeah,
the pair,
good for him.
Who met on the set of Deep River want to hang out with Affleck's kids. With Jennifer Garner, Violet, Serafina, and Samuel, but Garner's not into it, according to a source.
Well, yeah.
The insider says, everyone gets it. Ben is understanding. He said that he would work with Jennifer to prepare the kids for meeting Anna. And Garner is reportedly cool with the relationship. She just wants to make sure the kids are set. She considers him a friend, thinks he is a good dad to the children, and respects him. She is happy in her own life and supportive of him and happy for him and his relationship. But you got to...
Look, I'm fine
with you. You got to hold on before you introduce the girlfriend.
Yeah. Once we get past the hooker stage, and I'm confident you're going to be with her for a while, then you bring her over.
They were able to go to Cuba, though, during this time?
Did they? Yeah. Wow. That's... Nick, he is Bruce Wayne, so...
That's all right. He's Batman.
Yeah, he is Batman.
All right. We haven't really touched on the Kardashians in a little while, so why not? In a preview clip for Sunday's Keeping Up with the Kardashians, Kourtney revealed why she hit her sister Kim after Kim criticized her work ethic. So try and follow along here.
Yeah, yeah, it's very complex because they're highly intelligent people.
She told her sisters, and this is Kourtney saying this, she told her sisters, "Do you think I want to come home into this negative environment with you guys every effing day? Like, it's torture," Chloe said.
Yeah.
But how did we even get on this? I thought we were talking about Kendall, Kourtney said. "Oh, my God, we've moved on. We're done because every day it's your effing attitude. Your effing attitude every day." Kourtney then told Kourtney, what?
Kourtney told Kourtney? See, even they get confused.
Yeah.
That they are completely fine. This is
now we have to. Now I have to.
Now,
tune in.
Now you're making us want to watch. Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Press.
Falcone punch.
When they are now filming, and then Kim chimes in saying, "Actually, you should go." And Kourtney responds, "I don't want to be near your fat ass." Okay.
Whoa.
She said that.
She went right to the ass.
She later screams, "I'm stuck in this effing trap."
Whoa. Man, that doesn't seem orchestrated.
Not at all.
Not at all.
You're fat ass.
And the ensuing fight, which they made sure they were going on all the talk shows to talk about how blood was drawn.
I think Kim is so brave.
She's so brave.
Yeah, to allow that. You know, she signed off on fat ass.
That's it. I mean, it's an open bookcase. They let it all fly. They do exactly what the producers tell them.
So to give you... my reasoning behind this, there are a few people died, and I didn't want to do like an obituary segment, so I'm kind of spreading them out.
Sure.
Unfortunately,
that was the buffer.
Where we are right now. Yeah, that was the Kardashians are the buffer of all the people dying. But Star Wars actor and dialect coach, a guy named Andrew Jack, died. He was 76 years old, and it was due to complications due to coronavirus. So I had to look up his photo, and when I saw him, I'm like, okay, I know who that guy is. He was in Star Wars Force Awakens and The Last Jedi as Resistance General Calluan Emmett. Now, you probably don't know the name. If you saw him, Stevie has long silver hair, a silver beard and mustache.
I recognized him, He's very majestic looking, would
Agreed.
You say?
Yeah. Something along those lines. Yeah, he's got that flowing hair and everything.
Yeah.
Let's see. His agent, Jill McCullough, said Andrew lived on one of the oldest working houseboats on the Thames. He was fiercely independent, but madly in love with his wife, and also a dialect coach.
Yes, I knew that he did a lot of that, so he's worked with a ton of actors over the years.
So that's sad news.
Yes, very sad.
Now, on the opposite end of that, a family of four coming right up. Leighton Meester and her husband Adam Brody are expecting their second child together.
Oh, my God!
According to reports, the pair welcomed Arlo.
So Leighton Meester
in 2015
and Adam Brody were on the OC. Were they?
I always get so I didn't watch any of these shows. So
yeah, you got that one right, Steve.
Hey!
So when I see the OC and the Hills and those names, for some reason they all run together.
The OC was scripted. The Hills was a reality show that was scripted.
Yeah, I'll never remember that. But I like that name Arlo. That's a great name.
Yeah.
Arlo is four, so they got another baby coming up.
And Brody is actually in the Jay and Silent Bob reboot, Preston.
Oh, yeah?
Very funny.
Okay. Yeah, I still gotta watch that. Colton Underwood.
Yes, of course.
Is promoting his new memoir, which is called The First Time.
I got a meme-wire.
In a new interview with the Los Angeles Times, he claims that the Bachelor production went too far.
No.
He said there were lines crossed in my relationship with Cassie.
No, they didn't.
That I found out about after the show. And added that he said there were things that they said and did that compromised my relationship with her.
No specifics, obviously. You'll have to read the book.
Yep. Now it makes so much sense that she decided to leave.
I'm surprised anything makes sense to him.
He said, if you're going to make a show, at least give me a fair shot to end up with the girl that I'm falling in love with.
I love you. Yeah. I love her, producers.
Yeah.
I don't love this one.
And apparently...
Look,
he didn't like it.
Okay. What if we got you? We'll get you an ice cream cone.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll go out for ice cream.
Yeah. With both chocolate and vanilla.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we'll get one of those. You remember when you were a kid, you get the cones that had, if you didn't get the ribbon cone that was chocolate and vanilla, you get the cone that had two cones.
Yeah, side by side.
Side by side cones with one handle.
Yeah.
It was like, oh my God.
It was kind of weird.
This must be how millionaires eat.
Yeah. It was the way it was situated, it was, I'm trying to explain. Well, it looked like a penis and testicles.
Yes.
No way.
Like that,
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that?
Well, all right. Maybe I need to see a picture to kind of refresh my... Oh, yes, I
there
do.
There you go.
Yes, I do. Okay.
Do you guys remember that, Kat?
Yeah. It's like almost like a goblet or something like
that. Didn't McDonald's have that?
Not that I remember.
I don't know.
No. They would get pretty messy, though, right? Like, wouldn't it be difficult to get both cones done at the same time?
Yeah, to have like a Gene Simmons tongue to take care of it.
It was usually... You would usually, Casey, was hand-scooped ice cream that was put in those.
Okay.
Not soft serve. So we're all clear on that.
Yes.
Now, right?
Okay. All clear.
Ewan McGregor spent his 49th birthday on the side of the Pacific Coast Highway with a broken-down Volkswagen Bug, Page Six reports. He was photographed rolling the car to the side of the road. Despite whatever went wrong, he appeared to share a drama-free birthday otherwise. So I don't know if he's driving. Yeah, he's driving an actual bug. A classic VW.
Man.
Now, it's been obviously worked on and fit up really nice. It's kind of like dune buggy style.
You remember, Preston, like it used to be all the rage to take VW bugs and make them dune buggies.
Yeah,
and that's exactly what he's done. That's very cool.
That's really cool. I like that a lot, but apparently it broke down.
You know what I like? I like the sound of the old Volkswagens.
The way their engine sounded completely different than any other car. It had kind of a sound.
There's a documentary called The Bug, and Ewan McGregor is in it. Have you guys seen it?
No, I have not.
It's either on Prime or Netflix. I haven't watched the whole thing, but I've watched some of it, and it's cool. It's the history of the vehicle, but he apparently has had a love affair with Volkswagen Bugs for a long time.
Marissa, can you humor me and see if you can find audio of a VW, classic VW Bug? I'm sure there's somewhere on YouTube there's some good audio of a... Because I'd like to hear that. That'd be nice to... No, that was a speed buggy.
Speed buggy, yeah.
But let's... I wouldn't mind hearing that because that'll bring back some nice memories. So anyhow, it broke down. He pushed it to the side of the road. He's okay.
So
we're
you're
all
saying
okay. Everybody's okay.
His car broke down. He pushed it to the side of the road.
He did.
Imagine though, you're Ewan McGregor and you're like, oh, Christ. And then some dude jumps out of a car and takes your picture like... Okay,
and that's what's happening in these photos.
Yeah, he's
really.
Like,
you're taking
what?
A picture. You could be helping me.
Yeah. What?
All right. So I have another passing. A guy named Jeff Grosso. The name was vaguely familiar to me. He was a legendary skateboarder. Hosted Vans Love Letters to Skating video series. He passed away on Tuesday in Costa Mesa, California. He was 51. There's no cause of death that was mentioned, so I don't know what the story is with that.
I wasn't familiar.
Yeah, once I started reading, I'm like, yeah, I recall that guy. Thrasher Magazine's Michael Burnett also confirmed the news Tuesday in an Instagram tribute. He said Jeff went from number one amateur to 80s superstar to cautionary tale and back again. His latest role is lovable curmudgeon, host of his own history-packed web series and keeper of skateboarding's Righteousness. Unafraid to offend or annoy in his quest to educate was by far his greatest, second only to being Oliver's dad.
Cautionary tale. Was there a documentary on this guy?
I'm not sure.
I think I do know him.
So now this is, I'm curious as to what happened because the day before he had posted a video of himself dancing with his 8-year-old son, Oliver. Now, I don't know how current that video was.
Right.
So if you're in the skating community or, you know, any of those extreme sports, I'm sure you knew who that guy was. So that's sad to hear as well. J.K. Rowling has launched an online Harry Potter hub for kids, families and fans to tap into during coronavirus. The hub will include special contributions from Bloomsbury and Scholastic. Nifty magical craft videos to teach your friends how to draw a Niffler. Nick, what's a Niffler?
I don't remember what a Niffler is, but I do know that a lot of this content that she's providing is going to be provided for free.
Niffler in Potter jargon is a queef, Preston.
Okay. Yeah. Right, so you can draw a queef? Wow.
It's a magical queef, though, Preston. Yeah. It has a shape.
Oh.
It's a magical beast with a long snout and a coat of black fluffy fur.
It looks like a platypus.
Am I embarrassed?
It's in Fantastic Beasts.
I know the one. Okay. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yep. All right.
I was way off.
Fun articles, quizzes, puzzles, and plenty more for first-time readers, as well as those already familiar with the Wizarding World. She said, we're casting a banishing charm on boredom. Some content is free, but some is pay only, so you can access that.
She should have a personal webpage called Rolling on the River, right?
Rolling on the river.
Did you get Harry Potter wands when you were in Universal?
Did.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went to Ollivander's.
I had my two. I got two. Yeah. It's really cool.
Even if you never use it for anything, it's neat to have. But you can walk around the park and point it at things and stuff happens.
By the way, you can see where they closed down those parks because the wand shop is basically a Corona pit. You're on top of everybody. Tiny. Yeah.
But how cool were all those shops?
They were amazing.
Every one of them. I like the Harry Potter movies. I didn't, but I wanted to buy everything. All those robes and scarves and everything they had looked so cool.
And the mirror that talks to you when you go in. It's just when this is all past. And everyone has their tailor-made hazmat suits. You got to go.
Oh, my God. It's so much fun. Do you want to hear the... We'll move on to the clips, and then we'll play the VW bug.
Okay.
All right, let's do the clips. Here we go. So... okay. I'm sorry.
What?
It's his new SFX. It's a reminder from Marissa. We have a...
Wow, we have a lot of clips.
One more time.
Yeah!
That was from yesterday. This is Casey saying that we had clips. Here we go.
Wow, we have a lot of clips.
Completely unintended, by the way.
Wow, we have a lot of clips.
None of that sounds like me.
The beginning
the
part.
I think the beginning does.
Wow, we have a lot of clips.
All right, contestants are put to the test of identifying songs before the new app in a game show called Beat Shazam. In this clip, Jamie and his daughter, Corinne Fox, discuss the producer's decision to add obscure music genres into the game. Here we go.
We got a few wrinkles in there where people looked at the category like, what's that? But we had to sort of put that in there to make it, we don't want to give all our money away.
And our contestants really know their music, so we have to throw in the categories like that so that, you know, it's an even playing field.
Shut the
Beat Shazam airs Saturday, 11 p.m. on Fox.
It's been on for a couple of years, and I catch it periodically. It's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Did you enjoy Name That Tune?
I did.
I like that structure a little bit more.
Yeah. I agree. All right, here's another clip. I can't do it. I can't get that high. All right, so The Pharmacist is a true crime series about Dan Schneider, a Louisiana pharmacist who goes on a quest to find his son's murderer. Mm. In this clip, Dan himself reflects on what his son would think of the work that he is doing. Here we go.
My son, he'd be really proud. He would really be proud. It's the type of kid that he probably would say, Dad, I'm sorry I screwed up. I'm sorry I hurt you, Mom, and everybody. Didn't want to hurt anybody.
Wow, I'm not familiar with
it. It sounds powerful.
Yeah, it's been on for a while.
Okay.
It's on Netflix. And
how is it, Case?
It's good. Here's the deal. I mean, it's his son is, he goes to buy crack and he gets murdered. And, it's kind of in an area and neighborhood in Louisiana where, you know, people aren't going to talk about it. You know, the neighborhood knows who did it.
Don't snitch, yeah.
So it's pretty wild. Chuck was the one who turned me on to it.
Oh, okay. The Pharmacist is streaming now on Netflix, by the way.
See, I had a clip already for that because I saw the name Dan Schneider.
Yeah.
And thank God, because I had copied and pasted and a clip at the end of that.
Talking about trying to find his son's murderer.
Yeah, trying to find his son's murderer.
This was the clip you were going to play at the end.
You guys know who Dan Schneider is, right?
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah,
right, I know. So Dan Schneider is Ricky from Better Off Dead.
Oh, okay.
And so
I'm real sorry your mom blew up, Ricky.
So we were going to play that instead?
No, I was going to have that at the end of the clip, kind of like, you know, Steve always plays the clip because Dan Schneider is Ricky,
right.
and he also created, like, Hannah Montana.
And then when he talked about, obviously, looking for his son's murder.
I was like, oh, my God, abort!
Mission. Sorry your mom blew up, Ricky. All right, and that's what I have in the entertainment report. I do want to hear that clip I asked Marissa for, if you would. So this is the clip.
Wow, we have a lot of clips.
No, of the VW bug.
That one.
Sound effect.
All right, here it
so
is.
So if you could pull that up. This is what it, Ewan McGregor's VW Bug had broken down, and we were talking about the sound of those classic VW Bugs before they remade it into the Beetle.
Yeah.
This is it. Now, if it just sits here and idles, I like it when they're shifting gears.
Yep. Get it pulling away at all?
I don't think so.
There it is. That's it.
My friend had a classic green VW Beetle. And we rode to school virtually every day in that thing.
We owned one. My family owned one.
Oh, did you?
It was a blue one.
Oh, really?
It was great.
Yeah.
It was great. I mean, it was well before I was in grade school. It was well before I was able to ever learn to drive. But I loved it. It was a fun car.
Doors as thin as cardboard.
Oh, yeah.
I actually, I love the, like Minerva, the VW bus. That is my, a dream car of mine.
Yeah.
Not like a Lamborghini or Ferrari or whatever. But if I could have a fun car, it would be a bus.
Take Minerva.
Just don't drive it anywhere.
Not one that runs.
There's nothing you can do with it.
If you can see the country on the back of a flatbed truck, that'd be great.
What's so funny about Minerva is we have had mechanic after mechanic and shop after shop say, we'll fix that up for you.
Yeah.
We'll take care of it. And we've given it to them.
Oh, yeah.
And they can't do it.
No, no. They
make it look great.
Yes. But for any sort of feasible driving, now in its current state, it's beautiful. Yes. However, its clearance is about a quarter of an inch.
And it can't be driven.
Yes.
There's something just 100%
is it haunted?
Permanently wrong. It may be haunted. There's something wrong with that thing. Experts have tried to fix it and can't do it.
Yeah.
And probably never will be able to.
And probably shouldn't.
And probably shouldn't. There may be a reason for all that. All right. That's it for this break. We're going to take a quick break and come back in a moment because we got a lot to get to today. We have the Daily Rush Madness. We're going to reveal our winners from yesterday, give you the new matchups. We have MMR's Rock Refund happening twice this morning. We have an announcement concerning an MMR event at 9 o'clock. You can probably figure out what that is. But we'll tell you some details about that at 9 o'clock. G Love is going to be on the program. Ty Burrell is going to be on the show and more. We got a lot that we will get to this morning. Stay with us. We're going to have a good time together.
Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Wait, turn up the sound.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
All right, it is time for an update.
It's time for Preston and Steve's Daily Rush Madness.
Amidst all of the quarantining and locking down, maybe a little contribution to our competition taking place could be a nice distraction for you because we're asking for your votes as to which your what is your favorite Daily Rush video over the last year. And the results from yesterday's voting are as follow. We had E.T. the Entertainment Reporter against Tornado Warnings and Wipes Out. E.T. won that one barely.
Wow.
51%.
Yeah, I didn't know which way that one was going to break.
And then you had the Sly matchup. So Mini Balboa versus the top Sylvester Stallone movies. Mini Balboa took
it.
Mini Balboa was 60% of the vote. Then we had Ronald Reagan's porn intro versus Pierre Hates the Pina Colada song. Another close one at 52% of the vote. It went to Pierre Hates the Pina Colada song.
It's just so unique.
Which is too bad. I like the Reagan porn intro.
I do too. But to hear Pierre hating on anything is so amazing.
Yeah. And then the last matchup was Bojmir or a rim job against Preston and Steve React to the new Rambo trailer. And the rim job takes the cake and moves on to the next round. So today is day 10, believe it or not, we've been doing this.
Unbelievable.
And we got our matchups to highlight. So our first matchup, there are four of them total for the day in the Chart region of our bracket system. Haunted House Tours versus Kathy's Dreamcatcher and Manthe's Alexa. Let's play a little clip of each. This is the Haunted House Tour. Here we go. I like the fact that we're the very first people to own the home.
But are you?
Because...
on an Indian graveyard, right? That's where you...
They didn't remove the graves!
Didn't hear was where the owner was caught pleasuring himself by his wife.
unaware that the light from his laptop was obscuring his vision. Follow me into the observatory.
I was wearing headphones, too. Yeah. I didn't hear her come in. Kathy shakes her head.
Headphones, like you were all in.
All right, so that is going up against Kathy's Dreamcatcher and Manthi's Alexa. Let's reminisce on that. Manthi, read the news.
Today in news, a woman was found strangled to death with her own Dreamcatcher. Turns out she'd been talking ill of it on air when the gift giver decided to drive over and beat the bitch to death.
I watched that video over and over and over. That came out. It was so damn funny. All right, so those two are facing off against each other, and you get to vote all four matchups. The voting is enabled as we speak, so if you want to jump ahead before we reveal what they are through the course of the morning, have at it. We would appreciate your participation. But it continues, and we'll get to our next matchup a little bit later on. Hey, quickly, I want to do a shout-out. I got this email. It says, hey, gang, I know it's short notice, but as I'm listening to today's podcast on the 31st, it occurred to me to ask you guys for what you've been come to known as a shart to celebrate my daughter's 18th birthday on Thursday, April 2nd. Her name is Tori Hershaft, and I think it's how you say her name, and she deserves the celebration, all the celebration we can get for her. She beat leukemia at age 9.
Awesome.
Nearly straight A's throughout her entire high school years. She's grown up as a proxy Preston and Steve listener, while I mandate that it stays on the radio. And we've made the trek to camp out every year, even as she was bald and in treatment for her leukemia. She loved movie night, by the way. She's an amazing young lady, and I'm doing all I can to make her birthday everything it can be while we're all isolating. Thanks, you guys rock. And by the way, you know, her senior year experience is kind of in the toilet because of what's going on. So,
yeah, yeah.
But he says, thanks. That's from Joey Hershaft. So a shout out and a very, very happy birthday to you. Hopefully it's going to be a great one, Tori.
You know what? I have a late birthday shout out. If you guys remember the DJ, Steven Singer, we used to take him at Maui on Saturday night. So his sister's name is, or cousin maybe? Linda, and she was celebrating a birthday yesterday. So for Linda Lou from Downingtown, happy belated birthday.
Her name's Linda Lou?
Yeah.
Like how to give me three steps?
I don't know. Yeah. She just calls herself Linda Lou.
Okay, so that's nice.
Yeah.
All right, so yesterday we had an extended discussion about Tiger King.
Yes.
And there's been some bits of audio that have surfaced since yesterday, which are quite interesting concerning Tiger King. By the way, it was a very popular conversation. We got tons of feedback on it.
It was huge, yeah.
But of all people, O.J. Simpson has decided to weigh in on the Tiger King.
So, again, we talk about a guy who is desperate to be the O.J. of decades ago and seems to be totally looking to rewrite history to erase anything negative associated with him. But he did watch Tiger King, Preston, and had his initial take on it and then an observation on one of the characters.
By the way, is this from the video where he just got done playing golf and he's outside?
It's always him just playing. He's always at the clubhouse, and it's on his Twitter account, yeah.
All right, so here is him talking Tiger King.
Listen, I've had so many people on my case asking me to watch some show called Tiger King. Well, yesterday I watched this show, and oh my God, is America in this bad a shape? I watched about 6 episodes of this show, and I couldn't even believe what I was looking at. White people, what's with you and wild animals? Leave them animals alone. The show is crazy, but it's so crazy you kind of keep watching.
But the kicker is what he thinks about Carol Baskin. You ready?
Yeah.
There we go.
One thing I will say, there's not a shred of doubt in my mind that lady's husband is Tiger Tsushima right now. I'm just saying. Take care, and I hope you find something better to watch.
Okay, all right. Okay, so
how'd the bitch get away with murder? How do people think they can get away with murder?
Let's, for a moment, and just humor me for a second.
Give it to me, yeah.
Let's entertain the idea that O.J. didn't kill those people.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Why would you on earth record yourself saying that you believe someone is guilty of murder when there has been no trial, when there has been no evidence presented on just watching a documentary.
Oh my God.
Why on earth would you do that?
Anything that redirects people back to something that is clearly a large part of your current legend is so stupid.
It's insane.
So stupid. He could have simply commented on the series.
Yes.
And now, but you remember, here's the guy who wrote the book, If I Did It.
Yeah, yeah. This is how I would have done
it. And explained how he would have murdered his ex-wife and Ron Goldman.
Wow.
There is such a detachment. Unfreaking real. Yep. So if anything would sway a jury to believe she's innocent, it's O.J. saying she's guilty.
Oh, my God. I can't. Okay. Well, anyway.
That's O.J. for you.
There's some other clips to play. So in the show, Tiger King, there's this guy named Rick Kirkman. And Rick is, he's essentially was filming a reality show about Joe Exotic.
Yeah.
And he also produced his online show that Joe was doing.
Awesome show.
Yeah, that awesome show. Oh, my God. But he was right there while this documentary. He wasn't filming the documentary. He was filming a reality show. The documentarians were filming a documentary. So all these cameras were all over
he's
the place all the time.
Now part of the documentary.
Correct. Yeah. In fact, he's the first guy that does the talking in the show. So he had a few things to say. Want to start with this? First, talking about how accurate the documentary is.
He says it's accurate, and then adds some even further context to it.
All right, here we go.
This documentary is so accurate, it's frightening. I've actually had nightmares the last several nights since it's been airing. If anything, the documentary doesn't go far enough to show how crazy Joe was.
So we started rewatching it yesterday. Yeah. I mean, and we just finished it last
week.
Right. And we're watching it again. And I'm glad I'm rewatching it because it starts off with the documentary crew, the director, on how he had the idea to do this in the first place. He was actually doing something else on snakes, on reptiles. And a guy pulled up who was buying snakes and he goes, "Hey, look what I got in my van." And he opens up the van. There's a snow leopard in there.
Yeah.
He's like, "What are you doing with a snow leopard in here?" And then he started to tell him about this, and he was like, "Okay, new direction here, folks."
That's crazy.
And
he even says, "Is this the kind of environment, or temperature-wise, for a snow leopard? Yeah, they'll be fine."
But he was fascinated by it, and wanted to kind of expose that world. And then once he started finding these characters, then the idea kind of shifted as
Off and running. This is going to... And by the way, there is a series 2 in the works.
Oh, is
the Kate McKinnon one?
What's that?
Is that the Kate McKinnon one?
Well, no, that is a fictionalized version of... yes, Nick. Kate McKinnon is going to play Carol in a fictionalized version. That was predicated off the podcast that was addressing this whole thing for a while. There's actually going to be another docuseries that obviously picks up after this.
Okay.
Gotcha. Okay, so I got an email from a guy named AJ Brown yesterday, and he was listening to one of our old podcasts from November 6th of 2019. And he said, "You guys were reporting on a new show coming out starring Kate McKinnon on a new station, and it was based on Joe Exotic and the podcast. He couldn't believe that he was listening to us talk about the Tiger King back in November of last year. And then he listened to yesterday's podcast too. So we were talking about it. I mean, you know, it was probably one of those things that came up in entertainment news and we kind of glossed over and moved on.
And you know what, Nick? I wouldn't doubt it if we talked about Joe Exotic back when he was running for president.
Absolutely.
Right. We just brushed it off as you know, another nut job who's doing something goofy. Yeah, and
there are tons of nut jobs out there. Yes. You lose track. Yeah. There's no way to track them all. Yeah. So
wait, what is the podcast you guys are talking about? Is that...
This story has been out there in various forms, and apparently Kate McKinnon was part of or became aware of this podcast that was addressing similar subject matter, including Joe and the peripheral characters. That's my basic understanding.
Yeah, I
could be wrong on it.
So I think that the guy that made that podcast, we're going to have him on the show next week. If it's the same one that we're talking about, it's an extensive podcast. He went and he lived for a week on the zoo grounds with Joe Exotic and interviewed him and all the other people that are pretty much in this docuseries. But we're going to have him on next week.
And we could have a few other characters on too, right, Kath?
Yeah, so the girl, Seth, who had her arm ripped off, she's going to call in next week as well.
Wow.
You know, okay. David Spade has gotten a lot of them on his show because honestly, you stop and think about it, he did Joe Dirt.
Yeah.
This is real Joe Dirt.
For real. All right, here's another clip of Rick Kirkman. This is about Joe euthanizing a horse, and apparently it's a pretty horrible story. So here we go.
I have one story that I'll never forget. This one day, this poor old woman drove in with a horse trailer, and Joe said, Rick, get your camera, come record this. And the lady was crying. She had a horse in this trailer that was so old she couldn't take care of it. And she said, Joe, can you take care of this horse for me? And he said, oh, of course, we will. I'll give him a nice pasture to run in. And the lady cried, and he hugged her. She drove off the park. By the time she got to the exit of the zoo, Joe told me, watch me, Rick, follow me with the camera. He walked right up to that horse trailer, pulled out his revolver, shot the horse in the head, then cut it up and fed it to the tigers. That was Joe Exotic on a daily basis.
Wow.
Oh,
so that footage must have been part of what burned up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. Because that was his footage, which, when Joe was looking to eradicate all the potential incriminating evidence.
Yeah, what was he thinking, though? Like saying, grab your camera and get this. What did he initially want that video for? I mean, he knew what the guy was doing.
Kathy,
there.
He was handing condoms to children when he was running for governor. He has no... He was talking about his ex-husband's nutsack at his funeral.
Yeah. All right, this guy has no
concept of what is decent in this world.
In life.
Yeah. All right, and then this last clip of Rick saying Carol was essentially doing the same thing Joe was.
Exactly, yeah.
Here we go.
I think you're dealing with two peas in a pod. They're both one and the same. I think that Carol has done the same things that Joe has done for years, breeding cats, making money off breeding cats, and letting people come in and see the cats. The only thing is that Carol, I don't think she abuses the animals quite as bad as Joe has, but putting an animal in a cage is abuse in itself.
All right. So interesting. And did you say he's in Norway now, Steve?
Yeah. The last I heard,
like
he's
living there.
He lives in Norway. Huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Somebody wrote an article on where they are now, you know, after the documentary. And I did read that, like, it said Norway, but they couldn't confirm it. And then, you know, where some of the other characters were.
Wow. It's just.
I mean, apparently there's way more than enough for a second go at it. And because a lot of this was happening. So you're talking six, seven, eight years ago, you know?
Yeah. They started, the project took 5 years. And obviously, I'm sure they took quite a bit of time to edit it together.
Right.
And have it in the proper order.
All right. So so Netflix will give these guys like one lump sum for their project or whatever?
My guess is they bought this series completed, and then now you have a situation where, they might throw some money into production. Netflix is very sort of fluid in the way they approach different projects.
Yeah.
And so, like sometimes with comedians, like you heard the deal they did with Chappelle.
Right.
Here's a couple of $100 million. You do whatever you need to do, and we get it.
Right, right. So I'm just wondering, you know, Netflix, did they know that this was going to be as popular?
How would you know?
So what I'm wondering is, do these filmmakers, do they get any extra money because of its popularity?
Well, they would get the money that they have. They may get bonused in some way, but what they do get is that they negotiate for a second series.
There you go.
And they're not stupid.
Yeah, that's where the money hits, most definitely. Wow, it's pretty wild. I can't get enough of it, but I'm sure these clips are going to be coming more often. And now with that popularity, like we're going to have Saf on, and they're doing these interviews. We're going to hear more and more stories.
You're
going to stuff we missed.
I want to see what level of celebrity they get. How soon before one of these people is sitting next to Alec Baldwin on Match Game? You say, oh, that could never happen. Those days are gone.
Yeah.
Anything like that can happen.
Kath, you actually spoke to a couple of these people, right?
Well, I spoke to one. Okay. I spoke to the Seth. I spoke to, you know, representatives or agents for the other ones.
How was Seth when you were?
So nice. Like, so nice.
Identifies as male, correct?
Yeah, so prefers the pronoun he.
He, okay.
Yeah.
So, again, I read that in an article, so I don't know.
Yeah, sometimes you want to hear that from the person themselves, right, before you start to do that.
Yeah,
I think it's okay. I mean, and I'm polite to say, by the way, what would you like to be referred to as?
But was more than willing to come on with us. And
that's cool.
He or she is in California, and, you know, he said, I'll get up early, just let me know. And so, yeah, he's going to come on next week.
And he's the one you like the most from the show, right?
I think, honestly.
And so Kathy was unsure of whether
No, don't.
Okay, then never mind. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way. Okay.
Kathy, she sent nudes. Just to entice us.
Oh, wow.
No, don't.
Let me see here. Well,
look at a beaver.
Yeah. Wow. We didn't have those at the zoo.
You're into wildlife. Check out this beaver.
Oh, here. Somebody texted this. I love this. It says, hold my beer is now get the camera. So, yeah. All right. A couple of things I did want to mention that, we're all living a different life right now. And something that I did not I first read the headline on this, and I didn't quite understand it, but coronavirus may make the weather forecast a little less accurate. And I'm like, well, how in the hell do you make that connection? And it's because there is less air travel. And this is something that I never knew about meteorology and air travel. Fewer flights mean the weather predictions might get less accurate. The European Center for Medium Range Weather Forecasting said recently that aircraft reports are second only to satellite data in their impact on forecasts.
Yeah,
they get data from all these flights zipping around the world as to what the weather conditions are, and then that goes into the database for weather forecasting.
I was aware of that.
I had no idea.
But bringing it up now, yeah, you're right. Yeah. It's interesting because a lot of times, you think about the amount of flights, think about the amount of air traffic.
Yeah.
Look at any time. There are sites, well, now you're going to see far less of it, but you remember, like, they have shots of the difference of air traffic control screens, like after 9/11 and before.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I remember when that happened, Steve, when all of the flights were grounded, there were no planes in the air. First of all, it was really eerie. Like, you noticed that you didn't hear anything up in the sky.
Yeah.
But secondly, it directly impacted the weather. I remember weather reports and meteorologists talking about it later because somehow the lack of flights literally warmed or cooled the planet just for a little bit of time.
I saw, like, Kathy Orr the other night going, I don't know!
But recently added satellite wind observations will help mitigate the drop in the number of aircraft-based operations. The issue is that one of the main sources of aircraft-based weather observations, that is used in forecasts is the Aircraft Meteorological Data Relay Program, which uses sensors and communication systems from existing aircraft carrying travelers to collect, format, and transmit data.
Wow.
One expert says the European AMDAR coverage will be reduced by 65% or more over the coming month, which is currently expected to continue into the summer. So that's interesting.
I don't know you may have this article pressed. I think I might have sent something like this to you, but that's tangential to this, which is the you remember in I Am Legend with Will Smith, the animals starting to reclaim?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's happening.
Yeah, I have a story in San Francisco. It's buried in the bizarre file. I get these stories and they get pushed down. But, coyotes are starting to find their way into the city.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of a little less human interaction.
Less traffic. Yeah. Making crossing certain roads a little bit more possible.
Yeah.
Also, real estate prices are simply more.
Come on.
Yeah.
And California's freaking expensive.
It's hard. Yeah. And if you're a coyote and you're looking to make ends meet. All right. Okay. Yeah, we'll do it.
No, I heard last summer about coyotes and what an invasive species it really is.
Yeah.
And that was, from the guys that I was going through.
You were talking to some wolves.
No. My guides.
I hate those goddamn things.
When I was in the Southwest, we were hiking around, and the one dude, he basically is a coyote hunter. And
I'm a coyote hunter.
Yeah.
He is. Woo-hoo! I mean, they as you talk about the case, they get into into in residential. So Kevin Smith was talking about it. You like if you have any sort of pet or whatever, even a moderate sized dog,
yeah.
they'll make game of them. You know, yeah. it can happen.
Yep, exactly.
I'm a coyote.
I have a couple of other stories that are. This is almost like the just the Corona junk drawer. I need to come up with a name of
the
just
Corona cupboard.
The Corona cupboard. That's right. We did the other day. Okay, so New Jerseyans. Oh, Corona activity. Actually, this is a Corona activity.
Oh, yay!
Okay, hit this. Okay. New Jerseyans are sacrificing a lot, obviously, during the outbreak, but you can still go fishing. And even earlier than usual, because officials announced on Tuesday the Garden State will open trout season. In fact, they opened it yesterday.
Oh!
10 days before the traditional start for catch and release only.
Online booze and trout.
It's
it
all
doesn't
happening.
Get better.
That's right. That's according to Commissioner Catherine McCabe. It's not an issue because the state got a head start this year stocking lakes and streams, there's fish to go around.
Quick question.
Yeah.
Fishing a stocked lake.
Yeah,
there's,
done it.
There's some purists who don't, like,
here's the deal. I went to one in Colorado and didn't catch one damn
fish. Stop it, really?
It's no guarantee.
No, it was near Estes, Colorado, near Rocky Mountain National Park, and the sign said, come on in, you're guaranteed to catch a fish, and then like a little asterisk, not guaranteed to catch a fish, and everybody that was standing there was pulling out trout and whatever else, and I didn't catch one damn fish.
We did it in the Poconos, Steve, and they had two ponds, right?
Right.
One that was stocked, and then one that was really, really stocked, and the idea is you bring kids there so they can catch something.
Right.
But you can't throw anything back. You have to basically, you have to buy every, so.
I know a couple places like that.
Yep. You have to take home whatever you catch.
And okay. And you got to clean it.
Well, you can.
Or did they have somebody fillet it for you?
You can have somebody fillet it for
you. All right. Fillet a fill.
So I did, I'm sorry, Kathy, I know you want to comment, but I did an opening day fishing experience one time with this guy I worked with. I was working at a restaurant. He's like, yeah, me and my buddy are going to go, you know, the trout season starts tomorrow. You want to go? Yeah, sure. I'd fished, you know, all my life with my dad. So, and I've done trout fishing as well. They weren't doing fly fishing; it was just regular, you know, reel, cast reel. So we go, and it starts at the crack of dawn.
Okay,
so we go there overnight, and essentially sleep in the car. You've gotten drunk, you know, so I felt like crap when I woke up. We're eating cold pizza.
Let's fart.
Yeah, exactly. And then you go to the stream. And, man, I mean, you stand shoulder to shoulder with hundreds of people.
Oh, really?
That's the way it was.
So you're just out there in the nature, the quiet of thousands of people.
And then...
Yes, these things are like that.
And then you wait to hear a siren go off before you can... If your bait touches the water before then... Like a game warden will come over and get you.
Whoa.
So, you know, and I would never, ever do that again, ever. It was stupid.
The whole purpose of fishing for me is the sort of zen. I don't even need to catch a fish.
Yeah.
Just this, you know, that's the whole thing. To be shoulder to shoulder with a bunch of lunatics.
Oh, and you know, your lines are going to get crossed.
Absolutely.
And everything. I cast, and one of the first casts I throw, hooked the guy next to me and hooked into his coat. And it was, I'm like, oh, man, I'm sorry. And we spent like 15 minutes trying to get out of his coat without ripping it. And it was just stupid. Now, I don't know if that, where all that, I doubt that happens in New Jersey. This is in Missouri. I don't know. But
like the Wissahickon Creek.
Yeah.
You know, that's stocked.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'll see a lot of people fishing there.
So they stocked that.
They stocked. That's my understanding. Right. Now, if anyone knows otherwise, but that's my understanding that they stocked that every year.
A lot of streams in our area will, Steve, you know, specifically for trout fishing, and they'll do it right before the season so that, you know, it'll get people out. It's to encourage people to go fishing.
Steve, that was my question, though, the Wissahickon Creek. And then also I was in Valley Forge Park, and this was a few months ago, but somebody was fishing there, and I just looked at him. I'm like, what is he fishing for? What's in there?
A lot of times you'll see people fishing, Kathy, especially down along the creek by where it comes up against the SEPTA bus station. You know, there's like a bridge.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Why would you ever eat
anything? And are they eating it?
Yes. Yeah, they're taking them. What, they're not mounting a foot and a half trout.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, fishing can be, it can be fun. It's like, it's kind of like skiing or snowboarding. Once you get over all that crap, you gotta lug around and get set up and prepped. and you finally get started doing it, you're like, okay, this is enjoyable.
Not if you have the fishing pen. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. The fishing pen eliminates all of your worries.
The only thing that I ever fished for with any sort of regularity were sunnies. You don't
eat
those.
That was just like fun fishing.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah.
One of my favorite types of fishing, and again, I don't even care about catching the fish, is surf casting. Have you ever done that, Preston?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just out on the beach. A lot of times you'd be off. You'd have to be off season. You can't go surf casting when people are actively swimming.
Or you go at dawn.
Right, right. Yeah. And it's just, again, it's that zen experience.
My favorite was trolling.
Trolling.
We would do that, my dad, because we had a boat. And
my dad was the worst fisherman.
Oh, was
Preston,
he?
Preston, he goes, he's like, I mean, he was, you know, he was Joe Cocktails. And I love him to death. The guy fought in World War II, and he's fantastic. But he could not fish to save his ass. Yeah. And so he goes, this is a Johnny Rico super duper lure rig, it's an umbrella rig. Yeah. This is going to bring in the big ones. Ties the thing, puts it over, and before it even hits the water, the line comes off the lure and it just falls off.
Bye bye.
Just falls off.
Yeah. I have a pond near my house.
Does the fish swim down, grab it in his mouth, and kill itself and float to the top,
and then bring it back to you?
Bring it back to you.
I have a pond near my house that my daughter was actually just talking about yesterday, wanting to try fishing. My wife is convinced that there's no fish in there, but I'm pretty sure I've seen people fishing there.
Okay.
And I just don't have a fishing rod. But
just use your arm and tie a string to it.
Yeah. Well, Walmart's open, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get fishing equipment there. Absolutely.
All
right.
That's where I get all my tiger food.
But you're going to need to figure out what's in there and what kind of lure or bait you're going to need to use as well. So,
what kind of
fish
are you
trying
to find?
But I mean, if you want to start basic, like worms or something like that, you can't go wrong.
There's actually there's a bait shop right on Ridge.
Yeah.
If you go over the bridge heading towards Main Street Maniac, right there, bait shop.
We used to use live bait all the time, Casey. It was either worms, minnows, or crickets.
When we fished for sunnies, we used corn.
Okay.
Oh. That was a... And then when I...
popcorn.
No, not popcorn. Just regular corn. When I was camping with my kids at Ricketts Glen...
Yeah.
Dude, they had a vending machine at the general store.
With worms?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was a live bait vending machine, which I had never seen anything like
chewing
that
worms.
But you have to get over, if you're using live bait, you got to get over killing the bait too. So you would, you know, you'd hook the minnow like through its head or the cricket right through its body, and you're killing it, you know. So
yeah.
The only thing I like about fishing is seeing what other people caught.
Like, oh, okay.
I don't want to touch the bait. I don't want to touch the fish. I don't want to touch the hook. I don't want to cast it out.
Yep, all that stuff. But anyhow, so fishing, New Jersey, 10 days early, you can do that. One more quick story. It's not a Corona activity. Oh. You can play the clip if you want to.
Corona activities!
But what are the Scientologists doing during this time?
You know, so Leah Remini just posted something about warning people. Apparently there is something, and I forget exactly what it was. If you can, Connor, maybe if you can look for it, about something she was very, she was furious about, what they were recommending or how to treat Corona or how to ignore Corona warnings. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good question, though.
Well, some religious leaders are kind of, listen, the overwhelming majority aren't, but some are kind of thumbing their nose at this, this issue. And it looks like Scientology, if you want to call it a religion, is David Miscavige is doing the same thing. He's actually released a statement.
Okay. We haven't heard from him at all.
I know.
A long time,
right? So Scientology has been very careful, not allowing a briefing that was done by Miscavige to leak out to the public, telling Scientologists that they must come down to see it in person. Now a copy was leaked by this organization that I found. It's David Miscavige explaining why L. Ron Hubbard's birthday celebration scheduled for March 13th in Clearwater had to be canceled, and how he plans to deal with the pandemic, particularly at Sea Org facilities where members are packed in tight quarters and have little to no privacy. Apparently, he's furious, and he doesn't like being told what to do about pandemic by government officials. To that end, he's telling the troops that whatever the government says, Scientology is going to keep things as much business as usual as possible. And he reassures employees that their workplaces are being thoroughly cleaned with products chosen after, quote, much research that will kill not only the coronavirus, but any virus, bacteria, or germ infestation. This means nothing really to Sea Org members who come into contact with workers all the time and may be infected.
So they canceled the event, the big gathering.
Yes.
So, but he's saying
because they had to.
Okay.
Yeah. So in the days since, Miscavige put out the message, Sea Org member staffers and public are still being encouraged to congregate for courses and video shows that the Sea Org is not using social isolation.
I wonder what the status is like in Clearwater, where they're, you know, it's blocks and blocks of buildings. Well, you never see a lot of people out and about.
But even though they're barreling into the pandemic completely unprepared, Miscavige has told them that they are the most prepared organization on Earth.
Absolutely.
And they don't dare disobey him. So we'll see how that
works
out.
Wow. So nothing's changed.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed not. There.
Yeah.
What about Mormons? Because so much of what they do is going out on missions, you know, and going door to door. I would imagine they've had to halt all
of
that, right?
Yeah.
I haven't heard any reports that they're continuing. So usually the stuff you're hearing, the news you're hearing now is people that are going against bans. So not hearing about that maybe tells me that
they're adhering to it. Yeah. You don't want to risk your. Yeah. So again, yeah, it's for many people, devoutly religious, it is an essential part of their day. But you got to play it smart.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Anyhow, that's from the Corona cupboard and the Corona activities. Okay. Case, if you want to hit it, go ahead.
Why wouldn't you want to hit it? It's beautiful.
Let's give away something. I have a copy of 1917 on DVD.
Great movie.
And I'll take callers 10 and 11, and I will set you up with that right now. 215-263-WMMR. It transcends the category of classic war movies with more scale, action, and suspense. You can own it today, but we'll set you up with that. Callers 10 and 11, 215-263-WMMR. All right, coming up, we got the B-File. We got MMR's Rock Refund. We have our friend G Love joining us shortly. So make sure you stay with us. We have some other guests too. I'll tell you about them when we return.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, why don't we go ahead and do the Bizarre File, because I got some stories ready for you.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
All righty. Let us begin with this. This is a pretty messed up story, man. The impact of this man's 2005 Peterbilt tractor trailer was so powerful that Dennis Gilbert thought that he had hit another car and possibly killed someone on the New Jersey Turnpike. This was last week this took place. As it turned out, he was the one who was almost killed by a cinder block that was thrown from an overpass.
What?
He ended up with a smashed windshield and a face full of glass. No life-threatening injuries, though.
A cinder block.
And the incident is similar to one 3 years ago in the same area in which a man died. You guys may remember this.
I do.
A 50-pound dumbbell tore through his windshield. Gilbert, the owner of Greenview Land Sculpting, was hauling a load of trees. He had just come off the Delaware Memorial Bridge as it was headed north around milepost 5. He saw something unusual in an overpass. He saw a pickup truck stopped on the Pensgrove-Auburn Road overpass. No signs of traffic backup. As he drew closer, he saw at least two young men standing near the pickup. He was going about 70 miles an hour when he passed under the bridge, and boom, he said, "I got a face full of glass. I couldn't see anything. My whole face was bleeding." Gilbert was able to maneuver his truck
Jesus.
To a safe stop after the block hit his truck. It bounced off and smashed another truck's windshield. That driver pulled over to help Gilbert, who was disoriented. He tried to understand what had just happened. He asked, "Did I kill somebody?" Thought he had hit a car.
Yeah, yeah.
The other driver explained that he saw a cinder block hanging from the overpass by an orange and black rope just before the impact. So somebody did that purposely.
On purpose.
Timed it to hit the front
that
of that truck. It's horrible. It's virtually murder.
Yes.
It's attempted murder. He said, "It didn't even register in my mind that these kids threw something over the overpass. The impact felt like it hit a car. As he waited for help, the pain from glass was excruciating. He said, I was trying not to blink. It felt like there were razor blades between my eyelids and my eyes. It was very painful." It's not clear if this incident could be related to the January 9th, 2017 case in which a 75-year-old Mercer County motorist driving the same area was struck by a 50-pound dumbbell. State police investigating that case said that at the time it was unclear if the weight had been tossed from an overpass or fell from another vehicle. Because I remember that part of it. They were considering it maybe falling from another vehicle that was traveling ahead of it.
Yeah, what's wrong with people?
Police are investigating that incident. Wow. Some folks will do anything to defy a near global order to stay home and engage in social distancing. Take one crafty home lockdown dweller who went incognito as a shrub just to go outside without being caught. This is in the UK.
Okay.
Nicholas Murray and Madeline My Davies, a young couple from Stephengate in the UK, say they caught a neighbor attempting a bushy breakout and captured the stunt on camera. They shared it on TikTok, garnering more than 700,000 views. Murray shared two different clips of the prank. In the video, a bush with two legs can be seen scuttling from the top of a driveway down the neighborhood drag.
Fred, is that you? No, I'm a shrub.
It's just a bush. Pay no attention to that bush. The video follows the person in disguise as they scurried and somersaulted through the street, apparently showing off for whoever might catch it. So they were kind of having some fun with it.
I'm shrubbery, actually.
They appear to be returning to their home with a grocery bag in hand.
Well, that's a new costume to get.
Here's another story out of England. A driver ignored the coronavirus lockdown and made a 220-mile round trip to pick up some windows that he had bought on eBay, and he was stopped by the police. And this is in Cheshire, where officials discovered his wife was in the trunk because the windows had taken up all the room in the car.
She was in the trunk of the vehicle, and the windows were in the vehicle.
That is correct. Police tweeted details of the extraordinary incident. They said his wife could not fit in the vehicle, so she was traveling in the boot for the return journey when he was stopped on the M6 Cheshire. So I'm sure they ticketed him for that. Teachers, of course, are stuck at home too, and now one has broken a Guinness World Record. Carrie Swedecki of Bakersfield, California, played the video game Just Dance for 138 hours and 34 seconds to break the record. How do you do that?
No way.
138 hours. She says she became interested in the movement-based video game about 20 years ago when she started playing Dance Dance Revolution. Her interest in both games has led her to 6 Guinness World Records: longest video game marathon, longest video game marathon on a dance game, longest video game marathon on a Just Dance game.
No breaks?
Longest video game marathon on a rhythm game, longest video game marathon on a motion sensing dance game, and most high scores achieved on a dance video game series in 24 hours. So, yeah, Steve, I would imagine she'd have to be able to take that.
Not unless that's the most disgusting record you could possibly. You're bathed in your own crap.
Yep. All right, and we'll wrap it up there. That is what I have in the bizarre file for you. Couple things on the way. We have an announcement at 9 o'clock concerning an MMR event that I think you want to know the details on. Also, we're going to be speaking to Ty Burrell of Modern Family.
Yeah, he's great.
We're also going to talk to Akbar Baja.
Enough with this
Bajabiamila. I have to have it written phonetically.
Bajabiamila.
There's too many damn letters. But he's great. He's been in our studio before. He's from American Ninja Warrior. We're going to talk to him. He's a really inspiring guy.
Yes.
And when we return, we're going to talk to G Love.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome. So we'll take a break, come back in a second with all of that good stuff on this Thursday morning. Stay with us.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, you know, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Let's do our matchups. Here we go.
It's time for Preston and Steve's Daily Rush Madness.
All right, we got 4 matchups today, and the next ones that are going head-to-head and that you will be able to vote on are the following. Is this the new Pearl Jam song? We'll face off against Butthole Magazine.
Oh, wow.
Let's remind you what those videos are about with short clips of each. So here's the first one. Is this a new Pearl Jam song?
New music. Pearl Jam. Just a clip of it.
Let's check this out.
and sinker.
That was a good prank.
It was very good.
That was
good,
a solid prank from Casey. All right. And then that is going to go up against this video, Butthole Magazine. Let's take a little listen to that. Here we go.
Steve, what are you reading?
I'm reading Butthole, Preston. Telling me how to get a more effective home theater. Apparently works better if you put the cord through your butthole.
Huh.
Oh, this is the 10 tastiest cheeses for the holidays. Many of them are better if you put them in your butthole. Some guy with an ascot on.
Yeah. Everything.
Lord Buddington.
An ascot.
Your butthole. An ascot. Oh, my God. Okay. All right. So who's going to win that face-off? Those two videos up against each other. The new Pearl Jam song versus Butthole Magazine.
Watch the videos. Honestly, yeah. There's more in it than just the audio clips.
Go to PrestonandSteve.com and watch the videos. Place a vote. Let us know. They're all up for voting now. You can do that. And we have just a couple more that we're rolling out through the course of the morning. But if you want to jump ahead, watch all the videos and vote, you can certainly do that now. Our next guest is on the line and ready to go. We haven't talked to him in a long time.
But man, we go back with this guy.
Way back, WDRE days. And he's been, like everybody else, stuck at home and trying to find ways to help entertain his fans, which is an awesome thing because we all use a little bit of entertainment. And everybody's getting, even though we have all these distances right now, everybody's getting up close and personal.
Yeah.
Looks into their personal lives that you may not have known about.
You're getting to see their unclean houses.
That as well. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So let's get him on board. Some Philly love for the one and only Mr. G Love this morning. Yo, G Love. Hey.
Hello.
How you doing, man?
I'm awake.
You're awake. That's good to know. Hey, where are you these days, bud?
I'm a farmer now.
You're a farmer?
I'm living in Cape Cod.
Cape Cod's beautiful.
I've never been to Cape Cod. I've always wanted to go to Cape Cod.
Lots of great white sharks. Yeah.
White sharks. Imagine this. Imagine me.
Yeah.
I got my overalls on. I got baby chicks. I got chickens.
Wow.
Seriously.
I go down, dig some clams, I dig some oysters, I grow marijuana.
Wow.
Ah.
Hey, speaking of the chickens, are you raising them for eggs?
Yes, man. This is a doomsday situation.
All right, so which crop do you protect the most? I assume it's the pot.
Well, the pot hasn't started growing yet, but we got so much pot from last year. You got to try and smoke as much as you can before that.
Well, somebody's got to do it.
Yeah. What a switch for you. How long have you been living this lifestyle?
Well, I mean, it's been a real complete switch for about 3 weeks now.
Oh,
our tour got canceled.
Right, exactly.
But, yeah, no, we've been up here for... I guess we've been up here for about three years now.
Okay.
Well, it's a great, honestly, there's a great vibe to it. I always use the word zen because it's a place where you can sort of clear your mind. It is gorgeous, and you need that. Where would the tour have been had you been out and had all this not occurred?
It's like the Jersey Shore, except for it's pretty.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that you wake and bake this morning, G, right?
No, I'm just a little punchy when you wake me up before noon.
But you're a farmer. You're the only farmer who sleeps
in. He sleeps
noon.
In.
I'm not really a farmer, man. I'm trying to be a rock star. It's just that now there's no more rocking.
I imagine these coops full of dead chickens and wilting crops and all this. So where was the tour supposed to be at this point?
Well, actually, I literally would have been getting home on this past Sunday or Monday. So we missed the last 3 weeks of the tour. But yeah, I mean, I found out. I mean, we're supposed to be on tour with us. We're always touring, but the next tour was going to be the next big thing. We were going to Japan, and then we're going to Australia in May. Those got canceled, and I thought we were supposed to go with Steve and Marley all across the U.S. in June. That's canceled. We got big shows in the Red Rocks in California with like Dirty Heads, and again with the Avett Brothers. I have not heard if they're canceled yet or not, but my manager Jay, he did say we'd be off till October. I was like, "Are you?"
Yeah. That's got to be wild for you. So I know you've been filling the time doing some stuff online on Instagram and Facebook. What have you been doing?
Well, for one thing, I'm just trying to make some money for groceries.
Mm-hmm.
but yeah, so we've been I've been doing guitar lessons, songwriting lessons online. So I got like, and my wife's booking me like crazy. So I got like 12 lessons this week, and that's been actually like that's been awesome just to make connection with these fans. I think I'm gonna try and make this actually one of the kids is from Philadelphia, from Reading.
Huh.
He's a 13-year-old kid named Noah, and this guy plays guitar and piano awesome, and he writes these great songs. We've been writing songs together. Actually, the last one we started working on was called Philly Love. Mm. And it goes, come with me, let's take a ride. We're going downtown Philly tonight.
That's good. That's good.
That's great.
It smells like a hit though. But and then I go. Well, you guys are MMR, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so I go. That shows you how long I've been living out of place. the line in the verse goes, Hall & Oates playing on MMR, baby, you still make my dream come true.
That's awesome.
Love it.
Do it. Record it. Yeah. I mean, you know, when you're done cultivating the pot crop.
Yeah. But yeah, so we've been doing the lessons, and then I've been doing, actually tonight I do live streams. Tonight I have one today, a Thursday, 4 p.m. I do them on Facebook Live, G Love and Special Sauce, and at Philly G Love on Instagram.
That's great.
I go live, and then I will donate half of the proceeds. It's like a tip-based thing, so people can, you know, go on Venmo or PayPal, and then they can send a tip if they want. And then half of the money for tonight, for instance, will go to the staff and local crew at the First Avenue venue, which is a legendary venue in Minneapolis. So just kind of trying to raise some money for, you know, other people in our industry that are stuck at home.
Yeah. There's a bunch of people getting, that are affected obviously in all kinds of industries. So people are starting to focus on the ones that they have a direct connection to. I totally get that. I want to go back to the lessons for a second, G. When you set these up, is it one-on-one, or are you doing, are people jumping on board and watching you stream these lessons?
Yeah, no, it's a one-on-one.
That's cool.
You know, through the Zoom platform.
Okay,
yeah, it's cool. And then I've been all kinds of stuff.
What?
The other thing I got is there's this app called Cameo.
Yeah,
you're doing Cameo?
Yeah, I do Cameo.
Yeah,
celebrity shout outs, man. Yeah, I finally learned how to play Happy Birthday.
So yeah, Cameo is this thing, and the celebrities. We had Gilbert Gottfried in; he was pitching his Cameo account.
Yeah, they do of all levels.
Yeah, all levels, and that you pay a little bit of money, and somebody like G Love will do a message or even sing Happy Birthday for you. Are you enjoying that?
I have to say, I mean, I am. I forwarded to one of my musician friends who will remain unnamed. And he's like, "Oh, that's just selling your soul for a buck." And I was like, "Well, not really. It's like the fans go crazy for it. It's like, you know what? You kind of talked about earlier. It's like, it's a new age of if you want to make the best of where we're at right now. It's a new age of like connectivity. So,
yeah.
I mean, it was going in that direction anyhow. But you know, as musicians, you know, we spend all these years kind of connecting. You know, that's what we do, right? We go out on stage and we try and connect.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of bottom line. So we're like, spend all this time connecting, and just these are just opportunities to really, if you look at it on that level, to really make a strong connection with some people. You know?
Agreed. It's a way to get up close and personal. If you can't be there in person. This connection that you make for whomever you may sing happy birthday to or wish, you know, get well soon or something like that, they're going to carry that for the rest of their lives. They're going to find their connection with you even more special. They're probably going to pay even more attention to your music. So I don't think the idea of, of doing that is selling out. In fact, you sell tickets to your show, for crying out loud. Yeah. So, you know.
It's... Yeah.
I think if you really wanted to sell out, I would sell, like, my song to, I don't know, like, Coors Light or something like that.
Hey, man, I did that for you. Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. No, who was it who said... it might have been Joan Jett.
Yeah, Joan Jett said she used to, I'm never going to sell the rights to my songs. I'm never going to sell it. And then eventually she said, and I realized, what did I do?
Yeah.
What did I do?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but look, here's the thing. In the 90s when we were all coming up, that was a real thing. That was a real thing. Like, oh, my God, if you're going to put your music in a movie or a commercial, that was sellout material. And then Bob Dylan did the Victoria's Secret commercial. All right, so at that point it was like, oh, Bob Dylan did it. And then you know the Beatles had Revolution and the Nike commercial, so it really changed, like, the whole paradigm. And from that point it was like,
it's dumb because I'll tell you why. I've actually gotten turned on to artists because I heard a song in a commercial that I liked.
Mm-hmm.
So you're advertising your product as well.
Oh yeah, and nowadays it's like the state where the music business is, because even before all this mess, it's just hard to get through all the noise. It went from in the 90s to get a commercial was a sellout to now artists, including myself, are hiring a team of people to go out and actively try to get you commercials. You know what I mean? So it's just a different, the business has changed. But, so that being said, like, yeah, whatever, man. What do you want me to do? You want me to put on a Subway suit with Jared?
No, not now.
No, not like Jared. Don't do what Jared did.
But listen, you got bills to pay and you got mouths to feed and a new one, from what I understand, as well.
Yeah, well, that guy, okay, so look, that guy peed on me last night. So
he's got a new baby. That's what he's talking about.
I thought you were talking about a house guest.
I mean, I got a new baby. I'm going to be honest with you. My wife, Kelsey, which feels so weird to say something like my wife.
Yeah.
But not my girlfriend, my current girlfriend. But yeah, my wife, Kelsey, she's a wonderful woman, and she holds down the fort. And she had a fever last night.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know whether she has it or not. It got up to 102. It's fine now. The fever broke in the middle of the night. But I did take the baby. She's like, I need some space in bed tonight. So I took the baby, whose name is also Garrett, on the couch.
Oh.
And we slept on the couch, and this is the first night that I actually had to, like, do the nighttime thing with the infant.
God, your nipples must be sore.
Yes. I shaved the nips beforehand. Yeah. and then, what did you know? Like, 5 a.m., I'm like, oh, yeah, I go to change his diaper. He's got a number 2. I change the diaper. I'm putting the cream on, and then he pees all over. First night with Dad, man.
Well, I'm sure that wasn't a commentary on your care. It's just, I think that's probably part, that's a standard thing, right? I think you've been christened, so to speak.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. No wonder you're so punchy this morning, man.
We got chickens, we got babies, we got a hot tub. We're good, man. We're riding out the storm here.
It will end.
With these kind of live concerts in home that you're doing, are people able to request songs for you to play or anything along those lines? How you doing it?
Oh yeah, I should have said that. Yeah, that's the whole thing. It's like all requests set. So I'm going live, and then I mean it's not like it's some kind of high tech production thing. It's my wife's cell phone, my cell phone, sitting on a table looking at me, and I graffitied a sign that has the name of the show, the Home Show Pop Off, and then so people are putting their requests in the comments, and I'm trying to read the next request while playing the current one. But it's a lot of fun though. But just trying to, it's just fun, man. It's fun to interact, and I think it's been really lifting people up.
a lot of people are at home, you know, wondering what to do, especially people with kids. You know, they're like, oh, my God.
No, it's a big thing. It means a lot. It means a lot. Music is definitely very liberated. And right now, listen, you can't focus in on the news. You'll go nuts if you look at the news. You get through all this, and what you're doing means a lot. But to point a thing Preston made earlier, I think, so you probably always sort of flirted with this tech for a while, but now this is really expedited your immersion into it, and I think it sounds like you're seeing new opportunities for yourself by getting into this. And maybe you get a better camera, and maybe you get a little light rig and all that stuff, and this can be another avenue for your art.
Well, you know, it's a good point, and actually I got yelled at twice yesterday by two of my artist friends. One was Cisco Adler, and one was Mahali, the singer from Twiddle, and because they're like, well, do you have, you know, Logic, or you got a outside interface? I'm like, I got my phone, bro.
You need to bridge that gap. You need to kick it up a little bit.
Yeah,
I guess so. I guess so. And especially, you know, considering that I might be off the road till October, but yeah, I mean, yeah, we're gonna. I think
it's a bit of a rabbit. It's a bit of a rabbit hole, man, because you learn that you have to buy this thing, then you got to buy that other thing, and then you got to buy two of these things, and you got to run them through this. But just you go on YouTube and do a quick search on how to do great, you know, streaming or you know, home videos, and you can order the stuff online and you'll get up and running. Because I have been surprised, Steve, as well, that I've noticed some really top-level musicians don't have good broadcast equipment or recording equipment at home. I was surprised.
It's pretty amazing. And so for you, Garrett, if you have do you have a Mac?
My wife does.
So on that Mac, I guarantee you, if it's within the past couple of years, has GarageBand. Fiddle around with that. That's
I'm good on GarageBand.
There you go.
Yeah.
Garrett,
here I go. I'm getting yelled at for the. It's not even 9 a.m., and I'm already getting yelled at by my lack of technical.
Listen, but the way you said, you laughed when you said my wife does, I'll bet you're just like me and Steve. She handles everything, doesn't she?
Oh, dude, she's. Yes.
Yeah.
She's the bomb. TheBomb.com. Yeah, and like, plus, and then, you know, it's funny how it goes, because. It's not like I'm an untechnically advanced guy. It's just that my wife's younger and she's more technically advanced than me. Yeah. And then my oldest son's 18 and he's like, you know, he has a studio upstairs in his room. I just don't know how to use it.
Right.
Of course. Oh. And he's going to keep it that way.
So wait, what's your 18-year-old like? Is he, I assume
he's a songwriter?
A songwriter? Is he like you? What kind of styles he got?
Well, he was going to mass art. He's going to art school up in Boston before it shut down. But he is. He's a great musician, and he actually has two records out on Spotify. His stage name, his artist name is Clear Cola.
Clear Cola.
Clear Cola. Yeah, like the '80s Pepsi.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
spelled with C's or K's or what?
With C's. Yeah.
Okay, Clear Cola. Okay, we'll check him out.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's not rock and roll. It's more like kind of downbeat hip hop kind of stuff. But it's pretty cool.
Well, you had mentioned Twiddle earlier. Are you what do you consider yourself?
You float in and out of genres.
You really do. But like Twiddle's like a that's a jam band right there. What do you consider yourself?
Well, you know, we that's kind of been the problem.
That's
been the problem the whole time of my career. We've never quite fit into a box. I mean, I say we do hip hop blues, but we're really kind of like rootsy, you know, rock and roll with some hip hop influence at times.
Yeah,
but we're a part of the jam band world, and we're also part of the blues world.
Yeah, but you're also, you know, you had mentioned the Avid Brothers earlier, and they're like bluegrass Americana. So.
Right.
That's pretty interesting. It's all right in my wheelhouse of stuff that I like to listen to. So,
well, you know, not to like name drop or toot my own horn, but like this pretty like our first record back in 1994 has really influenced a lot of amazing musicians. Like, how do I know? Because they've told me. But like, there's in particular, there's one show in Pontiac, Michigan, the first time we came through there in 94. And over the years, Kid Rock told me he was at that show.
Huh.
Jack White was at that show. And both heavily influenced by what we do. And, you know, like everybody from the Avett Brothers, Jack Johnson, Slightly Stupid. A lot of people have, you know, kind of been influenced by our sound and a lot more in different genres. So,
I have no doubt of that. You can definitely tell it from different artists. I saw your show. You did a show at the beach in Brigantine a couple of years ago.
Uh-huh.
And it was great. I mean, and so I thought I knew your sound and was very excited. The show was great, but there's all sorts of different stuff going on in your show. And considered a bit of a curse in marketing you is a blessing in your wide variety of capabilities. So, take that for what it's worth. It's great that you have all that in your toolbox.
Oh, yeah. I mean, unbelievable. While you were saying that, I was just remembering, because the other thing about it is that because, you know, we have so many different influences that we do wear on our sleeve, you know, it also enables us to be on a wide variety of bills. And then I was remembering this past summer where, you know, back to that song again, Philly Love, we were out on tour with Hall & Oates.
How great is that? Are they a joy to tour with?
I mean, their band and their crew and Daryl and John is the nicest guys, and their show is awesome, man. I mean, talk about, like, first of all, their show's sold out or almost sold out every night, and you're talking about, you know,
yeah,
10 to 20,000 people, and it's all hits, man.
Yeah,
and you're just like, oh my god, and you know, it really takes you on a trip, and it's a lot of fun. The crowd, it's hard to be an opening act for a huge classic rock act, because as you guys know, especially in Philly, like, or if you ever go to a concert to see, you know, one of the legendary classic rock bands, the last thing you want to see is the opening act.
That's not true, though. That's absolutely not true. You had mentioned the Avett Brothers, and I went and saw them play. They opened for Zac Brown, and I didn't even – I went for the Avett Brothers, and uh-huh. I was thinking, you know, for anybody that was there for Zac Brown, man, you guys are really in for a treat here because,
right.
You know, I've loved the Avett Brothers for years and years and years, and then I actually, as a result, was turned on to Zac Brown. So,
okay.
So if there are opening acts, I try to get there as early as possible because it's like, all right, let me see if I can open my eyes and ears to something and I wouldn't
I remember Kings of Leon opening for you too.
Yeah, and yeah. So the way I look
okay,
at it is like,
if
I like a band and that band likes a band, I might be right. more inclined to listen to a band that I like listens to, if that makes any sort of sense.
Well, geez, I wish more people were like you.
he's in Cape Cod going now, son of a bitch. I just got pissed on last night.
Hey, you've opened for Jimmy Buffett before. You did at Citizens Bank Park. How did that audience treat you?
That went well. That was cool. The funny thing about that show is like, all right, so I got to worry, you know, Jimmy's going to have you sit in, I'll come play your harmonica on Son of a Sailor. Yeah. I'm sitting in the wings during his show, and then here comes Son of a Sailor's coming up next on the set list. So, you know, I'm by the monitors. Yeah. They give me my in-ear monitors. The stage manager's going, all right, G, get ready. He's about to call you up. And then he doesn't call me up and just starts the song. And then... And then the guys are going, just go, gee, go. I'm like, I'm not going out there, I'm not going out there and just bum rushing the stage in front of, you know, 100,000 people at Citizens Bank for Jimmy Buffett. And they're like, no, you're going, go, just walk out. And then I walk out, and then Jimmy's head started the verse, and he goes, oh, there's
Jimmy Buffett. No, he'd forgotten.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, I would be like you. I'd be like, no, I guess he made a call not to have me out here. I don't want to look like a dick. Yeah.
But yeah, no. But and we did another show with. We've done a bunch of spots with Jimmy Buffett, he's great too. You know, like his daughter Savannah and I are really close friends.
Oh.
So, you know, I've gotten to kind of hang with those guys on vacation and get to know Jimmy.
That's cool. Have you flown in any of his planes?
I haven't, but I've been on his yacht when he had it.
Hey, oh, there you go. Nice.
Wow.
That'll do.
I was rooting through his fridge. I was smoking some of his weed.
Nice, man. Well, listen, no Citizens Bank Park right now, but you do have your living room to jam in. We got to wrap up, but we'll point people in the direction. If they want to see you performing, do they go on Instagram or Facebook, or how are they going to do that?
Yeah, just tune in today to, if you want to just find out more about me, go to @PhillyGLove on Instagram, @GLove on Twitter, GLove and Special Sauce on Facebook, and philadelphonic.com. Yes, philadelphonic.com is our homepage. But today's show is 4 p.m. EST, live on that Instagram or Facebook, and then Saturday will be at 4:30 p.m. EST.
Awesome.
But, yeah.
So, great.
Hey, thank you guys so much for waking me up early. you know what I'm going to do now, right? I'm going to build this chicken coop for my baby chicks.
There you go, man. Save us some eggs.
Hey, it's good to talk to you, Garrett. We hope you we touch base again soon, okay?
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Preston. Thanks, Steve. And big shout out to everybody in Philly. Hey, everybody stay positive.
Yep.
You know, don't let it get you down. And, hey, look, you got if you're laid off like a lot of us, do something you haven't had time to do, like read the Iliad.
Yeah. There you go.
Read the Iliad. You've heard it from G-Love.
Oh, I love it. All right. G-Love. Thanks, Garrett. Hey. Take care, man. We'll see you. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. He's hilarious, man. He was definitely punchy. I mean, he's always been a personality, but he's a little goofy in the morning. I love it.
I love that he's in a good place. And again, you're right. I mean, there'll be a time where he'll be back around, go see the show.
Yeah,
and it's obviously, I just think of him alone. Him as a farmer, Preston?
That's hilarious. I'm glad he went down into that. All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back in a second. We got more guests on the way. And we also have an announcement that we have to get to concerning an MMR event. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
Back in the olden days, about 5 years ago, your only options to keep listening to WMMR when you got home would be to drive your car into your living room or turn on something called a radio. But now, through modern technology, the smart speaker that's secretly collecting data on you...
What did you say?
...can also stream WMMR. Just tell Alexa or Google to open MMR, and magically we'll come streaming into your home. Plus, it may help distract your device from becoming self-aware. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
All right, first up, the matchups.
It's time for Preston and Steve's Daily Rush Madness.
The third out of the four that we're going to highlight through the course of today's show. All the voting is enabled. You can vote on all the ones. So we're just rolling them out for you. So in the Hey Bitches region of our brackets, we have Manthi's Kitchen versus Taylor Swift's Stalker Gets a Job. This is the second Manthi appearance, by the way.
Yeah.
We had one earlier today. We had Manthi's Alexa. Now it's Manthi's Kitchen. Let's listen in, shall we?
I'm going to pound my meat.
Oh, my. Okay. You need a cooking show.
Cooking with Manthi.
Yeah, oh, my God.
Hi, everyone. Hola.
Hola.
It's Manthi's Kitchen, and today we're making enchiladas. And I'm going to show you how to garnish just right.
Make sure you get the Philly accent in there.
So
you don't have to order it on the stairs. Bring your own home.
All right.
Manthi.
I love Manthi.
I don't even remember the flashpoint for Manthi when that occurred, but it seems to be that Manthi's been around forever.
It does. All right, Manthi's Kitchen is going up against Taylor Swift's Stalker Getting a Job. Let's play that clip. A man who broke into her home in 2018 was arrested for trying to get inside again.
Wow, this guy won't give up.
This is her stalker.
I love you so much, man. Big fan.
TMZ.
Because it plays good, it plays, play. You know, man, I love it, man. It gets in your head. It's like what you call an earworm.
So that is going to be our matchup from the Hey Bitches region. You can go to PrestonandSteve.com and you can vote, and please do so now. All right. We have an announcement to make. There have been a lot of questions, and we have an answer for you as we have been trying to weigh what things we're going to be able to do with things being the way that they are with quarantine and social distancing and all of that. So we have an update on the MMRBQ, which was scheduled for May. That is now going to be rescheduled. The MMRBQ is happening, and there's a new show date for you to make note of. That date will be Saturday. We're keeping it on a Saturday.
Yeah, of course.
Saturday, September 19th at BB&T Pavilion. So we are rescheduling it out of an abundance of caution for the artists, for the fans, for the staff. And hang on to your tickets because all tickets will be honored for the scheduled date. There are more details. That's all that I can reveal. I don't have any other information other than the fact that the show is going to be on September 19th. If you want some more information, you can go to WMMR.com.
I do have some info, Preston, which is this will be one of the... Well, this will be a an MMRBQ. You'll be able to enjoy pumpkin spice coffee during...
Ooh! Yes!
Didn't even think about that.
And pumpkin-flavored beer
Beer.
That's happening. Yeah. So, and in fact, I thought Marissa was saying the other day that we have had one fall. Yeah.
Was the first... RBQ, a September?
It might We did two in one year.
Two in one year.
Oh,
all right.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, the first or second year, we did one in the spring and one in the fall.
Okay. And we called it MMRBQ 2 or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Electric Boogaloo, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now you have been made aware. It is officially moving. So take out your calendar right now and jot down that date. Make sure to set aside Saturday, September 19th at BB&T Pavilion. And hang on to your tickets because all tickets will be honored for the rescheduled date, if you will. So complete details are available at WMMR.com. All right. I love the fact that we are having our next guest on now. He's been in our studio before, and I'm telling you, this man is an inspiration. He always has a great outlook and some really bits of knowledge, and it's always wonderful to talk to him.
When you were out with the flu, Preston, I believe we reran our interview. You know, we were just starting to get into all this corona stuff.
Yeah.
And, man, just, you know, you're right. He's got that take on things.
He is the host of American Ninja Warrior. We're playing the Warrior. Here you go. And American Ninja Warrior Jr. as well. And we're happy to have him back on this morning. Please welcome Akbar Bajabiamila.
Hey.
Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. It sounds like you guys had a pre-recorded Bajabiamila because you didn't want to mess it up.
No, he's been practicing.
I worked on it all morning, dude. I messed it up. I don't know how many times yesterday and today just setting this up, but right now, nailed it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. I just heard a little scratch and I thought, I think he pre-recorded that and then brought it right back in.
Can I take a crack at it?
Yeah.
Bajabiamila.
Bajabiamila.
Yeah. Bajabiamila. Okay. I have no problem with it because I'm a football fan, so I've been following your career for a long, long time. Did the guy from ESPN ever have a cool nickname for you by any chance? What the hell is his name?
No, you're talking about Chris Berman?
Yes.
No, Chris Berman. No, he could never get it out. I think he struggled with it.
That's why.
I think it was just back, 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 back.
I wonder how many guys your name forced into retirement.
Listen, so what's the latest? How are you doing, first of all? How's your life adjusted?
Well, you know, it's been quite, quite challenging, to be quite honest with you. Obviously, I'm out here in Los Angeles in California, and, you know, we've had the in-home quarantine thing, and I've got four kids. I had to go get my son from Oregon. My wife drove all the way up to Oregon because we didn't want to risk flying. So she drove all the way to Oregon to bring him back. He's at the University of Oregon. So we've got a college student in the house. He doesn't need any help, thank goodness, as far as, in-home schooling. And then we have a fifth grader, and then we have two second graders. So bouncing around the house doing different, like, fifth grade math. Now I know why they had the TV show Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? And I should have watched a little bit more than that because it's been challenging with the math and the this and I mean, girl, don't be asking me all these social study questions. We'll look it up.
Yeah. Well, and makes you appreciate what you always did. I appreciate what teachers do, but I've heard more than a few people, celebrities, and I see also on Twitter and just social media in general, people who had been thinking, boy, it'd be nice to have another one. This has put the kibosh on that.
Oh, yes, it has. But it also makes you, to your point, makes you appreciate teachers more. I sent out an email to both of my kids' teachers and just saying, wow, like, you know, we appreciate you so much. I was talking to some of my old NFL buddies, and I was like, man, I think we got this thing all wrong. Like, they should be making seven figures for what they do, because it's challenging. And the question, and then, you know, I think the hardest part is to be able to keep them entertained.
Engaged.
There you go. That's the word. Keep them engaged, because, you know, they're hopping and passing. No, sit down. And let me tell you something else. I mean, we've got a food crisis, too, going on in the house, because I think the kids they express their frustration and their emotions differently. And I think they're emotionally wanting to just eat all the time. I'm like, do you guys eat this much at school? Like, my goodness, I need a snack. We just started the first period. What are you talking about?
Hey, and you know what, Akbar? Think about how many complaints those teachers and principals are getting, no matter what it is, you know, because everybody, this is new to everybody, this online learning and doing it at home. So the fact that you sent a nice email goes a long way.
Oh, yeah, I had to. I just, because, and that was, I think that was after day two. I was like, oh,
day two.
And then I heard our governor, Gavin Newsom, say, hey, look, I'm just going to keep it real with you guys. Expect it to be like this all year for the rest of the school year. I looked at my wife. I'm not even lying. On the third day, I hit in my office. Babe, I got stuff to do. I left her hanging on the third day because it was challenging.
Well, you know, we've been hearing some stuff, and your governor's been doing a good job. I have to say, I haven't been, you know, always been the biggest fan of a lot of his stuff, but I definitely think he's been stepping up, and there have been, again, I know you're a guy who looks for the rays of light and all this stuff, and you get bombarded. I tell people to walk away from the news, take a breather, go out in the sun, go for a properly distanced walk, and because you need to do that. And you're starting to see some indications of flattening in California, which is very promising. So, you know, to that point, obviously, you ride it out, get to the other side. But I have to ask you, in your day job, your non-home teacher job, what are they predicting as far as you returning to American Ninja Warrior and American Ninja Warrior Junior?
Well, I would say I'm very optimistic in that the, you know, NBC and American Ninja Warrior, the production company, they're very, very optimistic that, you know, we're going to just kind of ride this thing out and kind of wait for an opportunity to get back to normal. And I think that's the part that I think gives some of the fans there a lot of hope as I'm drinking from my American Ninja Warrior teacup right now.
You've got your teacup.
Yeah, I got my teacup, so I'm looking at that. And so I'm hoping that things will get back to normal. The entertainment industry has been hit hard, as is the rest of the world has been hit hard by this. So I don't think this coronavirus thing is spared no one.
No.
But I think it's the way we bounce back. And it's interesting because, you know, I was talking to a fan yesterday on social media, and I said, this reminds me a lot of Ninja Warrior in that this is just a big obstacle in front of the entire world. And the way we bounce back and the way we attack this, I think, is going to be crucial. You mentioned the silver lining in all of this. I'd be wrong if I didn't say, like, I love the fact that I get to spend this much time with my family. And living in L.A., I mean, smog everywhere. I stepped outside to go get some stuff at the grocery store and just driving. And I'm looking, I'm like, man, look at the impact this is having on our environment. I mean, you can't really see the downtown L.A. skyline ever. And to be able to go down and you can look at the skyline of downtown Los Angeles lets you know that there's a huge impact this is having on the smog that's just being emitted every single day. So healthy environment, healthy family life. I'm not going to complain because you're right. If you watch the news all day, every day, it's horrible. And I remember the first week, just like, I'm just stuck to the TV. What's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? And then you just get into this stressful life. And the other thing, too, is not necessarily always just pick. I know, especially for entertainers, getting on your phone and doing social media. And I was like, man, this is a break. I mean, this is an opportunity. Again, if you want to look at the positive side of this, and so, you know, I don't want to be like 100% engaged into social media and trying to create
right.
you know, crazy content. Well, I was like, man, like, when are you ever going to get this break? You know, like this, where, you know, we're, again, trying to find the silver lining and all this, like, hey, take time, stay inside, chill, and, you know, and then we'll bounce back stronger.
Well, let me ask you, as like, you know, with every year, everyone makes their New Year's resolutions, and there have been a lot of pandemic resolutions and quarantine resolutions. Hey, I'm going to learn this, or I'm going to do that. What did you think you were going to do that you thought better of when you actually tried to do it?
You know, I just made that resolution in week three. The first 3 weeks, I'm not going to lie, I had no idea what to do myself.
Okay.
I had no idea what to do with myself. I was just going, I'm doing homework. The first week of doing homework with the kids, literally as soon as it, like, we were done, like, 3 o'clock, I think I went to bed, like, 5, 6 o'clock. I was like, I'm done. I am mentally spent. But then after that, I said, okay, look, this thing looks like it's going to be a lot longer. I'm just going to be able to sit down and try to focus on what I'm going to do moving my career forward after this thing blows over. So I've had that mindset. And then personally, I said I wanted to learn another language. And so I think I'm going to do that. I'm going to start practicing on Yoruba. That is my native.
Really?
Language. And I was like, well, why not? You know, I had this opportunity just to, you know, get on the phone, talk with my dad, and just kind of go through it. I can do a lot of online stuff, and just, I need somebody to talk to, call my dad and start speaking Yoruba. So,
well, they say to start slowly. Start with Pig Latin. A lot easier to learn.
I can start with my last name, but like, yeah, Mila. I know that part. No.
Nice.
I can say some of the basic, like, good morning, like, e caro. So, what do you think? You guys, e caro. And you guys say a caro. Yeah, okay, yeah, I like it. That was good.
Look, we mastered the language already. Now all we need to know is how to ask where the library is, and then we're set.
La biblioteca.
Can't help you.
Well, everybody's trying to find some things to be productive in this time. Well, not everybody is, but they should be being productive in this time. But listen, man, we wanted to touch base, and we appreciate you getting back to us, and obviously let us know when the show starts up again, and we'll be back to chat with you another time. Okay.
Well, I appreciate it, and I think the world is looking for sports in general to get back. It's a great way to kind of celebrate and get back together. So yeah, we'll absolutely keep you guys home. Hopefully, you guys can make it out to one of the tapings.
We'd love to. Love to see that in person. Excellent. All right, thanks, Akbar. Hang in there, Akbar Bajabiamila,
hey,
guys.
Hey.
On the President and Steve show, he's great. He's such a positive guy. I love it.
Yeah.
And we love our next guest.
Absolutely.
This is wonderful. And it's sad that the show is coming to an end.
Yeah.
Next week is the wrap up. And Modern Family has just been one of the most consistent television shows I've ever seen. Hilarious. Every episode, without question.
I think it's already down in history as a legendary show, but it will be one that will always be talked of with reverence.
And how can you not love Phil Dunphy?
The best.
Yep. So we are going to welcome the man behind that, of course. And he's doing some great stuff, too, to help out people who need some assistance, which a lot of people do right now. Please welcome Mr. Ty Burrell to our program.
Yeah.
Good morning, Ty.
Hey. Good morning. How are you all?
We are doing well. That's kind of the, you know, we've been talking to a lot of people the past couple of weeks, and we kind of lead off with how are you and you know, what are you doing during this interesting time? And so I pose that question to you. How are things in your world, Ty?
You know, I think I would have answered even differently 2 weeks ago than I am now, which is that I think we're doing well under the circumstances.
There you
go. Think, you know, once you're... You know, I think as time goes on, it starts to become more evident that the people on the front lines are putting themselves at much greater risk than those of us at home. So I think we're trying our best not to complain.
No, yeah, you're right. You have to everything. I always say, and this is something you people need to learn how to put things in context. There's always somebody who's got it worse and always somebody who's doing far more than you are. And you talk about the people being on the front lines, and you're specifically focusing in on people in the service industry who have gotten decimated with this. And we're talking about, you know, the food and beverage industry. And here in Philadelphia, which is a big foodie city, you know, and in surrounding areas, there are a whole bunch of on our website, we're doing things to promote takeout and tipping and trying to get people. Oh, you know, we all perceive this as a bridge. This will end. But you need to get them to the other side of that bridge. So explain what you're doing, Ty.
Yeah, so Salt Lake City, Utah, which is my wife and I is real our where we live, it's our home. It was hit by this and then bizarrely hit with a series of earthquakes a couple of weeks ago. So even the takeout industry there has been compromised. So we started a program called Tip Your Server, which is raising money for all of the food and beverage employees. And it's not just servers. It's you know, the cooks and the cleaning staff and everybody who we're trying to get them from. I think you put it well. We're trying to get them from now until some of this federal money can get there. So we're trying to provide money as quickly and efficiently as possible. And as you know, I'm sure this is true in Philly and really any city, that part of our community is really vulnerable. Unemployment is so weird. I at one point in my life, I was a terrible, terrible waiter. And unemployment is really hard to navigate in that world because, you know, it's all tip-based. The hourly wage is low. Usually those folks don't have benefits. And I think with every city, we're hoping it doesn't become a housing, you know, become a housing issue.
Yes, yeah.
And Salt Lake has just been hit, you know, doubly with the earthquakes. So we're trying to help get them from here to the federal funding. And we're set up at downtownslc.org. If anybody who feels like they have the means, and I understand how tricky that is at this time, but that group is particularly vulnerable.
Yeah, I was saying that last week because the tornadoes were, you know, ripping through as well. Mother Nature doesn't care about any pandemics. You know? Yeah, so, you know, the world is just going to go on as is.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you just when you think things are at their weirdest,
but
a tornado or an earthquake.
But there's something that also, and I believe this, and a good friend of ours is, you know, quoted the Apollo 13, and you know, or paraphrase, saying this could be our finest moment where we rise to the challenge and get everyone through. And that's the mindset. But you're right. I mean, you know, small businesses and the people in these industries, they're in many ways the backbone of the economy of the country. And if, you know, and if they're left, if they're cut adrift, you know, that'll be a travesty we'll be paying for decades. So all of this is critically important.
I completely agree. And I can speak for myself in that I think even as a small business owner, we have a couple of bars in Salt Lake. I took for granted the importance of that community and how much a part of our lives it was to go out and be a part of, you know, to connect with each other, and how much those employees in the food and beverage industry really made that happen. And I think we're all excited for someday to be able to go back out to a bar or a restaurant. Right now I think, you know, we're all just trying to get them, you know, help get them through this.
And there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and I would be remiss if I didn't take I over the past couple of weeks I've had the opportunity to relay to people, you know, my philosophy on getting through things. And in 2014 I had prostate cancer. I'm doing fine right now, everything's great, but during that point in time, I have to tell you specifically, Modern Family was a massive part of my diversion therapy. And that's why this show holds a special place in my heart, because it was on constantly in reruns and then in new episodes. So to me, it means a lot. And here it wrapping up, is another major important point, obviously, in light of everything that's going on. But it still serves that purpose. It still is that, yeah, that moment you take a break and have a laugh. I'm sure you have all sorts of feelings about this wrap-up.
I do. I've never heard that of diversion therapy. I think that's an amazing way to put it. I use that. I use comedy for that.
Yeah.
For sure. I'm going to steal that if you don't mind.
No problem.
I think it's been sort of magnified now that we're wrapping up. I think we were sort of, everybody was sad and grateful even before the coronavirus. When the show was wrapping up, we were sad and grateful, but now I think it's kind of been magnified that as a cast, we're not able to see each other anymore, but also I think our gratitude has multiplied as well, that we were able to get this all wrapped and produced before all this happened and out on the air. And I guess my hope, and I think I speak on behalf of everybody on the show, is that it does create some diversion therapy.
That's
one of our showrunners and one of my good friends, Chris Lloyd, always says that comedy has the ability to be nourishing, sort of as a comfort food.
Well, it is, and your portrayal of Phil has been nothing short of miraculous. And I say that because anyone who's seen the movie Dawn of the Dead, the Zack Snyder film, you are such an insufferable prick in that movie, and you are the other end of the universe with Phil Dunphy. So that shows your incredible range.
Well, Phil Dunphy is the real character stretch.
You're that guy in Dawn of the Dead.
Dawn of the Dead is like right in my wheelhouse.
My mom
didn't even recognize me as Phil Dunphy. She was like, no, I'm just kidding.
I have a quick question as well, because I read that you were in Macbeth on Broadway. I went and saw Macbeth on Broadway. Kelsey Grammer was Macbeth. Were you in that production?
I was. That's insane. You got there in the 2 weeks that we lasted on Broadway.
That's crazy. I've seen you on Broadway. That's awesome.
Casey, don't tell him you fell asleep during the film.
Well, listen, I fall asleep in all of, because it's so quiet and dark. I fell asleep during Rent, during Macbeth, during Kiss Me Kate, all of them.
That production is actually legendary now as a flop.
Is it?
Really?
It's like one of the... I believe you, if you have any memorabilia, if you hung onto your playbill, it actually goes for a decent amount of money, but for the wrong reason.
Oh, wow. <no. laughs>
Are you saying it's now a collectible because of its failure?
Yeah, it is. I talked to somebody who said they sold their playbill for, I don't know exactly how much, but for a decent amount of money.
Oh.
Because it barely made it through, like, the first weekend.
Oh, my God.
It flopped so badly, but...
Yeah, that would be like having a playbill for Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark. Remember
that? Yes,
that
was another disaster. Yeah.
God. That's too funny, right. Ty.
Well, you blame it on the author.
Yeah.
It's Shakespeare.
Right. Well, listen, Ty, we will point our audience in the direction of the cause, downtown slc.org slash tip your server. And obviously, you gave it the preamble of, look, you're probably spending your dollars elsewhere and helping, but if you do have the wherewithal to share, please do so. So we'll make sure we pass that message along.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
And until next time, because I'm sure we'll speak again down the road. But thank you for the years and the cast on the show on Modern Family, because it's been so wonderful.
And you have the series Duncanville, by the way, the animated series on Fox. Yes, which is another one to look for. You do a great job.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that's been a blast.
Excellent.
But
And there he goes. I wanted to wrap it up and be able to say goodbye, but the people on the other, we went way over the time.
Whatever.
Is Duncanville new, or has it been around
new.
For a while?
It's new. Okay. So and then it's on hiatus now.
And it looks it's Simpson-esque type of thing?
Simpson-esque. Okay, they've been trying a couple different shows and that, and you immediately recognize his voice.
My friend, one of my best friends, Will, his cousin created that.
Is that right?
Way. And in fact, they have a restaurant called Chapman's. And it's named after Will.
Really?
Could you not? Yep.
Very close.
So that show.
Ty plays, he's the dad, and he's sort of like a rocker and still tries to keep that going on the
show. I watched the first episode, yeah. It's good. It's very, yep. very, very much in the vein of The Simpsons
right.
and Futurama and all that stuff. But
we're going to have to call in favors then, Preston.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'll get on it. You know, we have a minute or two. Somebody had texted in this idea to have me try doing. And by the way, I got a lot of feedback about the Pandemic Schmandemic, the game we did where we reversed stuff.
It was so funny.
People loved it. And I got more saying, please do more of it.
So remember, Preston, we replaced the Super Bowl. We replaced March Madness.
Yep.
And we've created the most popular word game ever created
in America
in just the matter of a couple of weeks with the Pandemic Schmandemic.
I've had recommendations. What is this case?
This was after we finished that contest. We did this live on the air, and it was my favorite moment of the week.
Oh, really?
Here, yeah.
Hang on. Skywalker.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is perfect.
And actually, that would sound like an alien calling him in the cantina.
Several people texted and said that I should try Akbar Baja Biamila.
Oh my
the
God.
Whole thing?
Wow. Backwards, yes.
Yes.
And right. I'm willing to try.
You just learned how to say it for reals.
I know. I know. Shall we try it?
Okay.
For reals, Kathy, were you going to add something?
No, I was just going to say my favorite one was the toilet paper one.
That was Casey that did that one.
Yeah, that one was great.
Okay, let me try this. You ready, Case?
Yes, I am.
Here we go. All right. Akbar Baja Biamila.
All right, you got to give me a couple seconds.
All right, and then I'll have to get some paper here, get ready to write this down.
Oh, crap.
What, did it not record?
Wait, no. Or did it? I don't know.
Here we go. All right.
All right, here, yeah. Sorry, for some reason I thought I deleted it.
Nope, all good.
I did not.
I could have done that again. I got the forward thing down pat.
Yeah.
But it's a matter of listening to this, writing it down phonetically, rehearsing it, and then recording it. It's a lot like making an album, to be honest. All right, go ahead. Halim Bajab. Okay. Halim. Hold on.
Play it again.
Halim Bajab.
That's a mother effer.
Asia. Hold on. Halim Asia. Halim Bajab. Abaja.
Yeah, there's like a.
Abaja.
Hi, I'm Abaja.
Halim Abaja.
Do you want me to go
again from the beginning? Nope, Halim Abaja, girl. Abaja, girl. But do the last part.
All right.
Akbar.
Okay. No. Girl. What?
Girl.
Akbar.
All right. I'm gonna do it slow.
Yeah, do it.
Sounds almost like girl.
All right, here we go.
Girl.
Wow.
Akbar. Girl. Akbar. Girl.
Back.
All right. Halim Aba Aja Hurlback. Earlback. Halim Aba Abe. Play it again. Backwards.
Okay. Wait, hang on.
Halim Aba Aja Hurlback. I'm ready.
You okay? Yep. Here we go.
Halim Aba Aja Hurlback.
I think I got it.
I'm
so excited.
And it's supposed to sound like Akbar. Now I can't even say it.
Baja Biamila.
Baja Biamila. Here we go.
All right. It is.
Okay. Akbar Baja Biamila.
I'll give that a solid score.
Yes! That's amazing.
The Akbar is tough. That it's one tough. Doesn't quite sound
right.
Because
of
Yeah, Akbar Baja Biamila.
Wow.
So what's your favorite of them all? I think
Bajmir.
Rim job is pretty awesome.
Rim job is good. Mm-hmm. Skywalker, because it definitely sounds like the server at a at the cantina calling him for his table.
Mm-hmm.
Skywalker.
Akbar Baja Biamila.
Wow. I do not believe you did that.
Somebody says my furniture is now moving around the room. Somehow or another, I've created that by saying that. Oh, that is so much fun. Oh, my goodness. Do we have a minute or two?
Yeah, just
I just got a handful of stories to pass
along. So you got your banjo out.
Before that. No, I'm not going to sit and play a song. I saw that the Ronald Reagan Library, so there are things that you wouldn't even consider that are in danger financially from the COVID-19, the coronavirus, yes, whatever you want to call it. The Ronald Reagan Library and Museum is asking for help. The Simi Valley facility has been closed since mid-March, depriving it of much needed cash since it is not federally funded. In a letter to members, the executive director says it's bleeding at about $150,000 weekly.
So, okay,
150 grand a
to
week
to keep that running. So the facility is large. Is this, by the way, I think one of the presidential libraries and facilities and museums, I think his actually has a full jet in it. Like
you can see it if we're looking at a picture here, Steve. Basically, upper left hand corner.
Oh yeah, 14. Yeah. So that's pretty wild, isn't it?
Yeah.
So maybe, but that amount of money to keep it running a week.
Nobody's going there right now. I don't know why it would cost that much.
I mean, are you paying for?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a conundrum, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
The hell is going on in there?
$150,000 a week.
She starts selling a hand sanitizer.
They
How about toilet paper? Take all the Spiro Agnew stuff. Everyone wiped their ass with that. He wasn't my vice president, but we have some stuff there.
I'm sure there are some things there. Yeah. They say that without a quick infusion of cash donations, the library and museum won't survive. Any amount is appreciated, according to the executive director. So they're asking for people to.
So it's privately funded.
Yeah. There's no government.
Assistance. The family was wealthy. Nancy passed, and I don't know. Listen, there's going to be a whole bunch of stuff in dire straits.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Not the band.
No, not dire straits. That's what I was like saying. Things that you had never even considered are being affected.
How's the Millard Fillmore Museum?
They're doing fine. I mean, he was really popular. And this is interesting too. Do you guys see that they pulled all the Zantac off the shelves?
Yes,
see that. Yeah,
I went in to the pharmacy yesterday. Believe it or not, our dog has a stomach thing, and I actually had to go buy antacids for my dog. And
can I help you?
They've asked. Oh, you're here now.
Guy, my name is Rugen Reagan.
But apparently that it's the brand name Zantac.
All right, so it's not the.
It's not the ingredient. It's something in the brand. They apparently there were some test samples contained an unacceptable level of probable carcinogen.
So is it a recall?
That's a good question. The contaminant is not present in competing heartburn medicines, including brand names Prilosec, Pepcid, or Nexium.
A coworker here was part of a class who. I don't want to give his name unless a class action suit, and he was one of the main people in this.
No kidding,
because he did develop a cancer situation that's okay now.
Okay,
it was tied to Zantac specifically.
So here's the part that kind of freaks me out a little bit. I take a over the counter, generic version of this, and I don't know if this.
No,
it was Zantac. Zantac
specifically.
Yeah, right. And so even if it says it on my label, like most like Zantac, it doesn't include generic. Thank God.
So and then there was apparently there was something that came out that there was an awareness of this and they were not acting upon it quickly.
Oh, hence a lawsuit.
Hence the lawsuit, the class action.
Hey, Case, I would double check on that. Because I'm finding, so I don't know what this is. It's ranitidine, and I think that it's saying.
Did you say something backwards?
Do you carry Inga?
It's saying such as Zantac. So I'm not exactly sure what that drug is, but it may be something that's used to make Zantac. And
all right,
Zantac
mind you, this is.
Recalled.
Kathy, on that level, it's for. This individual who works here was taking a lot of it.
So there are texts coming in saying there are off-brand versions that got recalled as well, Casey.
Really?
So look into that immediately.
Okay. Yeah.
Call Dr. Mike. See if he can help you out with that.
Yeah, he's not busy.
Yeah, he's not busy at all.
No, he's not busy at all.
Are you out of your mind?
Yeah. You got stomach problems.
I had like a minor thing the other day. I started to not feel good, and I like picked up my phone. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to ride this one out.
Should my my corn is acting up.
Yeah, right. No, I have a hangnail, and it really hurts.
However, a reminder, if you do have show symptoms of something that, that might be serious and you're having acute pain, don't be afraid to go to the hospital.
They're telling you that.
There are more and more stories of people that are having issues with their hearts or things like appendicitis, and they're foregoing going to the hospital because they're afraid of contamination. Go to the hospital. This other thing that you're having that, that is acute pain like that could kill you. And it's just not worth it, you know. So you need to get that checked out. Another thing that's happening, and this has been on Facebook. We actually had a chat off air about this yesterday. Facebook and Nextdoor, the apps are places where people can sell items, but they're seeing a lot more bartering lately. Rather than trading cash, people are trading items, swapping things like eggs for toilet paper and so on.
Did you see that footage? I think it was a... one or two 18-wheelers, it might have been in Texas, Preston, transporting toilet paper.
Caught on fire,
Caught on fire.
Oh, it was crazy, man. You know what? Our next-door neighbor had her birthday the other day, and Rochelle bought her a case of toilet paper. Because that's the best thing you can buy right now.
And again, go ahead, Kathy.
No, I'm sorry. I was going to say, have you seen for people's birthdays, they're doing like a caravan. So like the friends are coming by with signs hanging out of the window to say happy birthday.
That's so cute.
Yeah, there's so my daughter's birthday is in a few weeks.
That's right.
So we don't, you know, she even told me yesterday, it was so sweet. She's like, Dad, I'm not really expecting anything for my birthday this year, and it's okay. I understand. So we're like, oh.
Well, let us know. We got nothing to do. We'll take a ride up with a sign.
Come by. Yeah.
We'll let you guys know. But, yeah, in fact, we saw a police department had done that the other day.
Yeah.
There's a story that I mentioned of a kid who was having a birthday, and they did a little parade for the child, like his three-year-old.
I think that's sweet. I think you're going to see a lot of make goods.
Yeah.
So that you reschedule your birthday. I think that's totally appropriate.
Yeah, it'll still be there. The day will come and go, but the acknowledgement and the celebration can happen a little bit later on, which I think is really cool. But yeah, so on this Nextdoor app, somebody wrote that Nextdoor has turned into a bartering site. I'm currently trying to trade 5 pounds of flour for yeast. Saw someone trade an entire ham for a pack of Clorox wipes. Another Twitter user talked about seeing an ad for someone willing to trade cat or dog food for sugar.
So, I was at the supermarket the other day getting my essentials and stuff like that, and I wasn't even going to be at the supermarket. My wife sent me somewhere else to get stuff for dinner, and they didn't have it, so I had to go to the supermarket, and I just got so lucky they were stocking the shelves with the Clorox wipes as I was walking down that aisle.
Yeah, it's out there, and you came home with the big foam rubber cowboy hat?
Yes, of course I did. Copy of the Rhode Island slut.
Listen, I got plenty of jam and jelly to barter if you want to do that.
Yeah, you do.
I'm thinking about, so Rochelle, she went to kind of stock up a little bit. You know, you're going sparingly, and if you're going to go to the store, you get enough to maybe where you won't have to go back for a few days.
That's the way to do it.
So she went to Costco. And she brought back, so a couple of years ago, Carter and I made gherkins, okay? So I love those. I love sweet gherkins.
How do you make a gherkin?
They're a pain in the ass.
Really? Why?
Yes.
There's a lot of jerkin.
There's a lot of jerkin with the
in
gherkin.
The gherkin.
You take these, obviously, they're tiny little cucumbers.
They are, yeah.
And every cucumber, you have to poke with a toothpick like 12 times.
What?
Yes, you have to, in order for it to soak in that brine, you have to, which is not brine, it's a sugar water thing that you do, but brine is salt and water from
gherkins. Have that wonderfully slightly sweet taste.
Yeah,
so that's got
to
be it.
So you have to sit there and poke, 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 poke. Done with that one. Poke, 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 poke.
Why isn't there a gherkin poking machine?
There should be. So I'm thinking about doing that this weekend. So that may tie up my entire weekend making gherkins.
And poking gherkins.
So I'll have those to trade down the road a little bit. And it's like a 3-day process, too. You have to You have to soak it in this stuff with pressure on it and then take it off and then refill it and do it again for a certain amount of hours. It's got to be in the right temperature and all this other stuff. It's a pain in the ass.
Carter's the jam and jelly king now.
Yes.
Is he thinking to move on to anything else besides the pickles, which he's done?
Yesterday he made applesauce. Applesauce. Yes. Right. And so we have jars of applesauce as well. It's actually really, really good. He made it with some lemon zest, which he added to the recipe. It was yummy.
I want to go back to the jam and the gherkins.
Sure.
I'll jam my gherkin. Yeah. How
I'm going to help you pack.
How far do you have to poke the gherkin? The whatever it's called.
I don't know. Just a you know, a
just
third
a tip.
Way into,
just
that's about it.
Yeah. Because I'm wondering if your time might be better spent actually making a gherkin jammer. Maybe
an industrial gherkin jammer.
Yeah, kind of. I mean,
my name is Fraulein Gherkin Jammer.
they may have those for industrial purposes, but
I'm sure there are industrial gherkin jammers.
Yeah, maybe so. Dear Lord. All right, anyway. So people are bartering, so get ready to trade your goods if it comes to that. We want to go ahead and take a break, and I want to reiterate some information announcement we made earlier, and I'll hit it again in music news, but MMRBQ has been rescheduled. We have a new date for you. It is happening, and it's going to be on Saturday, September 19th. BB&T Pavilion.
Yeah.
And you want to hang on to your tickets because all tickets will be honored for the rescheduled date. That's all the info I have. I don't have any other information. If you want some of the details or just want to, bookmark that MMRBQ page, go to WMMR.com and you'll find the info right there. We'll take a break, come back in a second, and some bizarre file stories are up next. Stay with us.
Small businesses are the backbone of our local communities, and right now, they could use our help. Introducing WMMR's Operation Shop Local, encouraging you to buy a gift card from your local business to use in the future. But the cash you spend helps the business right now during a rough time. You can also make a difference patronizing businesses offering home delivery or curbside pickup. If you run a local business, go to WMMR.com and list your business in our directory of available goods and services. Operation Shop Local is a free service. WMMR is promoting this local business directory for our listeners to review and support when possible. We're all in this together. A message in the community interest from the Beasley Media Group and WMMR.
Justin and Steve Show. Thursday morning, flying by. Next thing you know, it'll be Friday, and we'll be giving away our 4-pack of tickets for Tenacious D for the Word of the Week prize. That's a good thing. And in about 10 minutes, your opportunity to win another $500. MMR's Rock Refund will be taking place. Let's go ahead and dive into NJM Insurance Group traffic and see what's up there. Kath, what you got?
Really?
Yeah, it's our last look. Huh. Thought you were done for the day, didn't you?
Well,
why don't you put that bong away and pay attention? We can see you.
Do you want to do something else?
Sponsor-wise, I'm finished, so they must have cut me short of a sponsor. But hold on, let me reopen.
Okay. All right.
And just see if there's anything.
We'll just rock out. Let me know when you're ready.
Rock is liberating.
All right, Kathy, what's going on?
I'm ready now. There's actually something to report. There's an overturned tractor trailer on the New Jersey Turnpike. So both directions being affected at Cranberry Jamesburg, which is exit 8A. Exiting at 8A is where you'll find the problem. The left lane is blocked on that ramp. So just keep that in mind on the New Jersey Turnpike. But that's pretty much it. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
That's pretty much it. All right. Yep. Thank you, Kathy.
Try to edit that down if you could next time.
Let's do this. Here we go.
It's time for Preston and Steve's Daily Rush Madness.
All right, we're going to highlight the final matchup of our day number 10, the round on day number 10 from the Gadzooks region. Two videos going head-to-head. One of them is called Fart Fart. The other one is called Personal Questions with Bill Weston. And let's reminisce, shall we? This is Fart Fart. Here we go.
It's great. It's everything you want to say. Play it again.
Which speed?
Let's do it slow. Okay.
I can see you give it like a little chuckle and move on.
No.
Like, At this point, we've been here like 3 minutes now.
You're not seeing the great question. So as it's gearing up in classic Korn fashion to be this aggressive sort of war chant, it's completely undermined by the childlike poot.
See, you can be in your 50s and still find that you were, have a child inside.
We're still laughing. I mean, it gets us every time.
Casey and Steve and I are sitting here looking at each other, laughing our asses off placing that. What was that, Nick?
No, an email came in from a listener, and he explained to me the origin. Did we discuss this, or did we not? I forget.
No.
Because we couldn't figure out why there was a fart sound attached to that corn soundbite initially. And, Steve, it was because we were comparing at one point years ago the corn sound to the Tasmanian devil. And you said that the Tasmanian devil likes to do that little raspberry at the end occasionally, yes. Right? So we inserted that into the corn sound to make it sound like the Tasmanian devil.
And then one day we just played it without realizing that was on there. Casey had played it from a different source than we normally play it, and it took us by surprise. And it was just the funniest thing ever. All right. So that video is going up against Personal Questions with Bill Weston. Let's see if we remember this. Here we go. We live in a world where if a woman doesn't put on makeup before going to work, she'll likely be asked if she's feeling tired. But it turns out that women shouldn't look overly attractive in the office either.
By the way, Bill does this all the time.
Oh, really?
You look tired.
Really?
Yeah, are you getting sick?
Bill asks you all kind of bizarre stuff.
Are you on the rag?
Oh, my God.
Could you imagine?
Wow.
Is your aunt Flo in town?
Oh, my God.
All righty. It's another Bill Weston video that's in there. So it's up to you. The four videos that are facing off against each other are right there on PrestonandSteve.com with the clips for you to watch. And then the voting process is very easy, and you might have a little extra time on your hands. So go ahead and take a quick peek and then place your vote and let us know what you think, which one of those videos should move on to the next round. In the meantime, we're going to, in just a moment, I'm going to give you the special word you're going to need today to win the $500 with MMR's Rock Refund. But before we do that, let's do this.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, we'll start with this one. Florida man, even with all the lockdown and quarantine and everything, still has to do Florida man things.
Of course.
And even with a burn ban in place, fire officials in Florida have already seen an increase in fires, including a blaze that took place on Saturday. It was apparently sparked by a gender reveal celebration.
Oh, enough!
Fire Rescue Chief Mark Schollmeyer said, "We were informed that it was caused by a gender reveal using Tannerite and a weapon." So once again,
what's with the Tannerite?
You know who loves Tannerite?
Joe Exotic.
Yes, Joe Exotic.
If you haven't seen Tiger King, man, old Joe goes to the local gun store daily
and gets his Tannerite.
Buys Tannerite and bullets.
I crap my pants.
Yep. So the fire rescue chief said something as seemingly innocent as a gender reveal can turn into a large-scale disaster where homes are threatened. He said that people need to follow the rules of burn bans, especially during the coronavirus pandemic. By the way, there's a scene in Tiger King where, one of the characters who ends up not making it to the end of the filming is shoots a big chunk of Tannerite.
Yes.
And he comments something along the lines of, "That almost hit my head," or something. He's laughing, too.
Yeah.
He could have killed you.
Yes.
And something else killed you, but that could have killed you right there. And that was funny. All righty then. Moving on. Troopers in Jefferson County, Pennsylvania say a man is behind bars after threatening to kill another man with a samurai sword.
Here we go. The old samurai sword.
According to state police, the incident happened at a home in Henderson Township. Troopers say that they were called for a welfare check and determined that a domestic dispute had occurred.
Officer, this is what happened.
The victim pounded
his eyes are making a noise, and my walls are made of paper.
The victim pounded on the wall of 41-year-old Edwin Colley's bedroom because his music was too loud, and he wanted Colley to turn it down. Troopers say Colley came out of the room, had a sword with him, and threatened to kill the man.
Court documents show that Colley is charged with making terroristic threats, simple assault, and harassment as well.
I mean, who has swords at their house? I mean,
come on. That's just silly. In a worst-case scenario, the Tennessee Department of Health instructed healthcare providers to use diapers instead of face masks, swim goggles instead of eye protection, and plastic bags in lieu of gloves to protect them against COVID-19. Now, listen, I put this in the bizarre file, just how weird that sounds, but it's legitimate to have a strategy ready just in case it comes to absolutely positively. We are learning that you should have provisions and protocols in place for worst case scenarios.
Yeah,
so why not?
And there's a going back and forth about the efficacy of face masks, and who knows? Yeah. So, but again, stressing unused diapers, right?
Oh, yes, I should have stipulated that fact. Unused diapers as a last
resort. Right. Used diapers.
Yes.
Wear the infant around your face.
And then just kiss your ass goodbye.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The directive came in a webinar for healthcare professionals. This is according to Dr. Michelle Fiscus, who said in the video, obviously these are not FDA-approved strategies, but sometimes necessity is the mother of invention. You have to do what you have to do to make sure that you are as protected as you can be. A slide titled Conserving PPE included a number of alternatives of typical personal protective equipment. In the voiceover instructions, the face mask section, Fiscus can be heard saying, I've seen reports in other countries of people using diapers. They have handy Velcro side tabs that can sometimes be stretched along the head. So they're actually having to pass that information along to people. Pulling people over is potentially dangerous for law enforcement, even when the world isn't in the grips of a pandemic. So when a Florida man was stopped for driving recklessly and said he had COVID-19, a deputy took extra precautions. The deputy gave 23-year-old Christian Perez a protective mask to limit his risk of exposure. But the deputy said Perez took the mask off and began intentionally coughing in his direction. Now, whether this guy really has it or not, I'm guessing he's just saying that he does.
My guess. Did he try the bee thing first?
No, not the bee thing. No, he didn't do that. But the sheriff said, we have zero tolerance for this despicable behavior, and anyone who threatens the health and lives of my deputies will face maximum charges. The deputy managed to get the mask back over Perez's mouth and put him into handcuffs. Perez is charged with assault on a deputy because of that. Threatening a public servant, driving under the influence, and driving without a license as well.
It's not bad enough for the cops on the front line there, officers.
Yeah, if you do decide to do some kind of a prank or something along those lines, keep in mind that they're setting examples right now.
Yeah.
And you can be made example of, and that will be a pretty, fierce penalty.
Yeah.
Because they're not taking any chances right now. So
taking no guff.
Yeah, so don't even think about it, all right? And there you go. That is what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. It is in 15 seconds, officially, 10 o'clock by the studio clock. So I'm going to wait, and then we're going to hit the special sounder, and this will be your opportunity to win some cash. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to fire it up.
93.3 WMMR. Now, your rock refund keyword.
Two-letter word. We couldn't make it any easier. Maybe if we just gave you a letter, it would be that much more simple. But the word is up.
Up.
U-P. 18 minutes after the hour to enter it. Three ways to do that, by the way, via text to the special contest short code, which is 45911. So send the word up to 45911. Or to be automatically entered for the $10,000 grand prize, enter on the MMR mobile app or at WMMR.com. The word up. One random entry wins $500 in this company-wide contest. And that person will get a call from Beasley, so be sure to answer your phone. The contest rules are available at WMMR.com. It is sponsored by A&T Subaru and Chevy in Sellersville. One more time, the word is up. U-P. Good luck to you. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. We'll do the lesson question, trash and music news as well.
MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style.
whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We're going to do today's lesson question. And we are going to give away as a prize a digital download of Sonic the Hedgehog. And the question that I have for you, I'm gonna grab from a guest that we had on earlier this morning.
All right.
So during this downtime, and when people have a little extra time on their hands, what does G-Love think that you should read? 215-263-WMMR. All right, let's see if you know that answer. During this downtime, and when people have a little extra time on their hands, what does G-Love, who was on our show earlier, think that you should read? 215-263-WMMR. If you heard it and you know, you should call. And while you're doing that, we will do the trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Let's get them stories. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, O.J. Simpson says he finally completed the docuseries and is publicly accusing Tiger King's Carol Baskin of getting away with murder. Said Simpson, quote, call it the gut feeling of an old football player who had to learn how to read people and also murdered two people. John Stamos posting on Instagram that he managed to take something from the Full House set that he now keeps in his home for nostalgic reasons. Stamos revealed that he has a small box containing the remains of Dave Coulier's career.
Wow.
And finally, 71-year-old Prince Charles giving an update on having the coronavirus, saying that luckily he's been experiencing very mild symptoms. Charles says he has a resilient immune system and credits his family's generational habit of banging their cousins.
Wow.
And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All righty. Let's see if we can get an answer to this during the downtime that people have when you have a little extra time in your hands. What does G-Love think that you should read? And I will go to Mikey and see if he knows the answer. Hey, Mikey.
Hey, what's going on?
All right, Mikey, want to know, what does G-Love think you should read during the downtime?
He thinks you should read The Iliad.
The Iliad. Oh. That is correct.
Did you ever read that?
No.
I had to for school.
Yeah.
It's not what you call a brisk read.
Is it really long?
Well, it's, you know, no, it's just, no.
Okay.
No, it's just.
Wow.
Which one is the is
Iliad basic, and the Odyssey?
The Odyssey is Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. All right, so since you got it right, Mikey, we are going to set you up with a digital download of Sonic the Hedgehog. The world needed a hero, and we got a hedgehog, starring James Marsden and Jim Carrey. Don't miss the movie that critics call entertaining and action-packed. And an awesome adventure for all ages. You can get it now. Own it on Blu-ray and 4K Ultra HD on May 19th. Rated PG from Paramount Pictures.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music View on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Prepare to be Russified!
I love that. Music news this morning is brought to you by Deeds and Watson, the official deli meat, cheese, Franks and Sausages of the Eagles. You can start your pregame with their fan favorite, 100% all beef Franks.
Where are the sausages?
So we'll start with sad news and a follow-up from yesterday. Fountains of Wayne bassist and songwriter Adam Schlesinger has died at the age of 52 due to the complications from COVID-19. He had been hospitalized due to the coronavirus for the past week and was on a ventilator. We reported yesterday, the report that I got said that he was showing signs of improvement. Clearly, that was incorrect information, so that's just terrible.
I'd seen that same report, so, you know, obviously that tells you to take everything you read these days with a grain of salt.
Schlesinger formed Fountains of Wayne in 1995 with guitarist Chris Collingwood. The band released two albums with little impact, although Schlesinger gained recognition for writing the Oscar-nominated title song to the 1996 movie That Thing You Do. The group also scored a major alternative hit in 2003 with Stacy's Mom from its third LP, Welcome Interstate Managers.
One of the best videos, by the way, ever.
It's worth going back to watch if you like beautiful women. Rachel Hunter is in that. And as I said earlier this morning, they had another great song called Radiation Vibe that I absolutely loved. After Fountains of Wayne disbanded in 2013, Schlesinger continued working as a songwriter, contributing tunes to the TV series Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, for which he earned three Emmys, and writing the Tony-nominated score to the 2008 Broadway musical Cry Baby.
Schlesinger, who was divorced, was survived by two daughters. And that's just terrible news to hear. Terrible news to
hear.
It
is.
Yeah. What else do we have here for you? Shinedown singer Brent Smith spoke about the coronavirus pandemic and how it might affect the band's touring plans. The band recently rescheduled its Deep Dive spring tour from April and May to August and September. He said, we had 30-plus states touring to do this year, with a lot that was scheduled for April to May. Our booking agent had the foresight to know how serious this was going to be and reschedule the tour to August and September. We're optimistic, but right now the smartest thing to do is to listen to the professionals. The singer added that the band was working in the studio when the outbreak really took hold in the U.S. and didn't initially realize what was happening. He said, that's when we started looking at our phones, social media, and the news, and realized that this that in just a short time we'd been in the studio, the crap had hit the fan. Shinedown reached into its archives last month, and they made available a never-before-heard song called Atlas Falls. The track will benefit Direct Relief, a nonprofit humanitarian aid organization that is providing personal protective equipment and essential medical items to healthcare workers responding to coronavirus. Kings of Leon have unveiled a video for their new song. It's called Going Nowhere. The black and white clip was shot in Nashville and features band frontman Caleb Followill sitting alone on the arm of a couch performing the tune on an acoustic guitar. The band said in a caption, stay safe, stay home. We'll see you as soon as we can. Kings of Leon recently teased a return to action 4 years after the release of the band's last studio album, Walls. The band's Instagram account added images of the band inside a recording studio in early March, although no further details were provided. Ozzy's daughter, Kelly, has told Entertainment Tonight that her dad had one stem cell treatment in Panama a few weeks ago to treat his Parkinson's disease. She said, seeing after one treatment of stem cell what has happened and the progress that he's made is mind-blowing.
Wow.
She said he wants to get up, he wants to do things, he wants to be a part of the world again.
Very encouraging.
He's walking better, he's talking better. His symptoms are lessening. He is building the muscle strength back that he needs after his spine surgery.
Hello, my name is Ozzy Osbourne. Yes. And I've never felt better. It's an interesting thing. The transformation is nothing short of miraculous.
He added that Ozzy is finally feeling, or she added that Ozzy is feeling well enough to get out of the house, but is now forced to stay home due to the pandemic. But she continued by saying, everything is starting to fall into place now, and it has given us so much hope. We are very grateful to the doctors that are helping him. Due to travel restrictions, he can't go to Switzerland. He was going to do another treatment there. They're going to have to put that on hold for now.
All right.
My Chemical Romance guitarist Frank Iero is spending his time in self-quarantine by filming video tutorials to show fans how to play some of the band's biggest hits. Iero has already streamed guitar lesson tutorials for My Chemical Romance's Ghost of You and Welcome to the Black Parade as part of Fender's Artist Check-In series. So
I like that song, Black Parade. I just don't know why I like it.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's just something, I don't know.
Poor kid goes to a parade, wants to get some cotton candy.
Well, it's sad. It's an interesting story, but the sound of it is big with the marching snares and stuff like that in the beginning.
I don't like the beginning of it. That's the slow part.
That's part of life.
Yeah.
So I have a couple clips to play for Music News. Yeah. Let's go with, we have two from Gene Simmons.
Gene Simmons.
Yes.
Rocking in the hizzy.
That's what he does. And he praises first responders in this particular clip. Here we go.
Hi, everybody. It's Gene Simmons. I wanted to take a moment to personally thank all the folks in healthcare, the doctors, the nurses, all the people that keep us healthy and alive, and our fire departments, the police, the folks in the food industry who bring our food at home. We'll get over this together, really.
So
good message.
Spending some message.
Kudos to me.
Yeah, that's right. And he even uses World War II as perspective on the quarantine. Here we go.
I just want you to consider the following. During World War II, 50 million people died. Your grandparents were asked to serve. Many of them gave the ultimate sacrifice. You know what's being asked of you? Stay at home. Sit on your rump. Binge watch Twilight Zone all day long while people risk their lives and bring you food. So let's get over ourselves. We're the greatest country in the world. Don't be a knucklehead. Love each other. Support each other. We'll get over this. God bless you all.
A message from Gene Simmons.
Another good message. My grandfather fought with the fighting chickens.
Oh, really?
Wow. He was with the fighting
special
chickens.
Division.
Yeah. Led thousands of chickens into battle bravely.
Okay.
But that's a good message. I like, you know, the fact that, you know, we'll get through it. Gene's positive. Even Paul Stanley has issued a message as well. We played a couple of those, so.
Listen, everybody's sending positive messages.
Hunker down.
It's great.
You know what? Panic. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. You know, panic. Go insane.
It doesn't look good.
Yes.
Honestly, this is, I'm not encouraged. That's the wrong message to send.
Yep. All right, that's music news. We're going to take a break when we return. Letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize, which is an awesome set of tickets for you. I'll give you the details. You probably already know, but I'll tell you anyway, and Pierre should be by shortly, too, to carry on. So make sure you stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked. Green Day. The Glorious Sons. Come a little closer to the sky. It's better than wondering why. Crobot.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Today has been another enjoyable, fun show. Hopefully you found it entertaining in some distractive way. If you need it to be that, that's what we're here for. And I'd like to do some thank yous. I want to thank G-Love for being on the show today.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to talk to. We go back, really, Preston, where he was playing demos for us in his car.
Yep, he did. He played, I think maybe it was like Rodeo Clown or something like that. He's like, hey, guys, we just recorded this. You need to check this out and tell me what you think about it. And we went out in the car and listened to it. And it was really cool. But he's, you know, he's in a good place. He was a lot of fun today. He's a new dad.
Yeah.
And spent up all night with the baby last night and let the wife sleep in and everything. But that was a great conversation. It was cool to talk to him. And he'll be back around when things settle down, obviously. thank you to, now I don't have it. All right. Akbar Bajabiamila.
Yeah!
I did it.
Why didn't you play the...
I could just say it backwards. Might be easier, which is... It sounds a little bit something like this. We've got to do that again soon.
Yes.
Very soon.
It's too much fun. Yeah. And, you know, pick words. Obviously, there are certain words that lend themselves to it.
Yep.
But who knows? Let's see what we can whip up.
So once again, thank you for being on the show and saying hello from Los Angeles. And Ty Burrell, how great was
Ty
he?
Ty Burrell.
Promoting the Salt Lake City development, this thing that he's done, Tip Your Server Relief Plan. Now, he's got a stake in Salt Lake City. He's from that area. He owns a couple of restaurants, wants to help out. And they had earthquakes.
They had a couple of earthquakes. Yeah. They've been getting whomped.
Yeah,
but
so,
the general call to help out any way you can with people in the service industry and beyond that, obviously.
And he flat out said, I know everybody's stretched thin right now. But if you can, if you're listening and you can have the ability to help them, please do so. And, of course, Modern Family wraps up next week.
Next week. So they're doing an hour, sort of a tribute to the series. And I think it's an hour episode. It might be.
And it'll be their 250th episode.
Yeah, 11 years on the air.
That's amazing.
Going out strong.
Nice to have him on the show this morning. Pierre is here. Hey. And I know for sure that Pierre is going to have your chance to win some money today. He's got two opportunities to win $500 with MMR's Rock Refund. So that's exciting. That'll be along in the not-too-distant future. How you doing, man?
Hi.
I just how you're doing. So
fine.
Oh, good. Okay.
I'm fine. I liked Gene Simmons.
Yeah.
Well, I love your Gene Simmons. your Gene Simmons just makes my life.
Oh, thanks.
But,
good messages, though, right?
Well, they were good messages. You know, and he's, you know, I don't know what his age is, but he's of an age where his grandparents, you know, were in the World War II era.
Yeah.
And I love history. And I saw Doris Kearns Goodwin on NBC yesterday talking about, you know, putting this in perspective. And during World War II, people who were here in America had to do everything from food rationing to gas rationing to some very major life-changing things. And they didn't even know if we were going to be able, you know, to defeat the Nazis.
To save the world.
And save the world. So it was a very... So, in other words, we're living in very uncertain times. We've had to have our lives change radically. Relatively speaking, It's going to be a fairly short period of time that this happens in historical terms, and even compared to World War II, which is 4 or 5 years of that. And so, you know, it's always helpful to put things in perspective.
I couldn't agree more. Context and perspective is a good thing because it's, you know, I early on in my life, I saw my mother deal with situations. She had cancer, and she had a way of taking things. And again, it's my thing. And I've since adopted it. It's just always, okay, so what's the absolute worst version of this? And then the reality of it is always steps back from that. But we got this.
Right.
And so, like, it's not like we're doing rubber drives and metal drives like in World War II, and we're getting our stuff is delivered to this supermarket. We have delivery services. We have ways of being in touch with people, you know, and not being so isolated. It's there. But you're right. That's a good way to look at it.
Well, in your perspective, I've mentioned it several times on the air, which is there'll come a point where this will be in our rearview mirror.
Yeah.
You know, we may have changed something. You know, I heard one guy say, well, we'll be changed. Well, you know, every trauma changes you, but we will get through this, and it will be in our rearview mirror.
And life changes. And Preston had a good perspective on it. So there'll be some things that you won't have, but then you'll be, yeah, we were the Corona, you know, school. We were Corona school group, you know, or whatever. You'll be of that time, right. You know?
Yeah. I know we keep, you know, hitting the message is going to be over. I don't think there's any doubt this is going to be over.
Yep.
I mean, we just got to, you know, we got to do what we got to do for the time being. So
you know what?
We'll be good.
I mean,
rain job.
Rain job.
Wow.
By the way, somebody had said that the Pandemic Schmandemic, which is the game where we did that stuff backwards, was Ginkuff Emo Siwa, which is effing awesome backwards. So, rain job. Rain job.
Oh, that's great.
Yes. What was that?
Oh, that was you saying Akbar Bashir Biyamil.
Play Skywalker again. It's one of my favorites.
That's what I was trying to do.
Okay.
Skywalker.
You should see Preston's eyes when he hears that.
It's so weird to hear you say something and then it's reversed.
Well,
Pancake.
Do you know where they employed that extensively, Preston? In Twin Peaks. And in they had a little person, a dwarf, who was one of the characters. If you're a fan, I know you're a fan of Twin Peaks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he would come out, and they did
that. Oh, yes!
So they had the dialogue. They had him phonetically say it that way.
No kidding.
So that he'd come out, and you'd hear him. He'd do, like, this little, like, shuffle out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he would talk, and that's how they did that. So he'd say, nah, 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 and it had that weird sound.
Casey, can you pull up the vintage IDs from where you are? If you go vintage IDs and go backwards, vintage ID backwards, and this was back in the 70s, the Stone production department at MMR, well before any of our times, would go in, and this person, and if you listen really closely, you can hear someone laughing in the background.
Okay.
But this is cool.
FM 93.3 WMMR Philadelphia radio station.
That's like a tape reverse.
I think I can do better than that.
Okay.
I'll work on it. I'm not going to do it right now because it takes some time.
No, you practice.
I think I can do better than that.
Ooh, yeah. That's exciting.
A challenge.
I love that. That's exciting because then I can have two. I can have the vintage and the Preston backwards ID.
All right. Okay. Done deal. We got people waiting for the letter. You want to do that? Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, and the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
G as in great. Day in the morning.
I love it. We have one more letter to go. We get it tomorrow. We'll give away a 4-pack of tickets for Tenacious D, the Purple Nurple Tour, Twisting Hard to the Left, with special guest Winchester. And that is October 7th at the Met in Philadelphia. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. What is planned for today's show, my man?
Okay, we're going to do the Rock Refund, as you mentioned, noon and 2 p.m. Jackson has it at 4 and 6, and Bam Bam on this cycle for the first time has it at 8 p.m., which is fun. We have Workforce Blocks of Fleetwood Mac and The Killers, including that great new song called Caution that they have out, which we'll put in there. Motley Crue, and I've got this Bon Jovi song. Prior to this happening, this pandemic, he went over to England and got with Prince Harry, and they went into the studio with these wounded warriors.
For the Invictus Games.
The Invictus Games.
Yeah.
And the video, which we'll post later to go along with it, is amazing. But he gets these wounded warriors who had formed a chorus to sing the background of a song that he has had out for a little bit. Really cool stuff. So we'll play that over the course of the day.
Excellent.
All right. Inspirational.
I want to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by Acme. You can now enjoy the convenience of ordering your groceries online and have them ready for pickup at a time convenient for you. Each item will be carefully selected and brought to your car online. You can order shop.acmemarkets.com. Tomorrow, lovely ladies on the program. Kate Flannery, our good friend from The Office, will be joining us. And save that whistle because Jane Seymour will be joining us tomorrow.
She's she's in a new movie. Who do we have with Rob Riggle?
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay, nice. He was just on yesterday. Yeah. So that and more, you know, the Rock Refund and Friday hijinks will ensue. That's it. We are done. Rage on and have a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
This is for the person that threw their yellow rubber gloves out their car window in Yardley. You're a real scumbag.
Next message.
Steve Morrison. Love you for thanking the truckers. Appreciate it, brother. All right.
Next message.
Public service announcement with the current state of things. Please be at least 27 feet from me if you're going to make the sounds of a VW bug with your mouth. Thank you.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.